Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just not done. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here in beautiful, sunny Foxborough, Massachusetts. We're in the bowels of Gillette Stadium for a very special off-season edition of PFW in Progress. And guys, how you doing?
Good, Fred.
Everybody
good,
ready good. To go? The sure, gang's sure. All here. Andy, Eric, Paul, me, Kevin's in the booth. Me. Kevin's got a haircut.
Me. Yeah.
Got a mom cut.
Not a lot left there.
The Paul Perillo special.
He's doing all right.
Two on the sides, one on the top. One on the sides, two on the top?
Yep, pretty much.
He's doing okay. Yes, he's not losing too much.
The barber, Freddie, when
as
I went in.
Thin as can be.
This guy's been cutting my hair for like, you know, 20-something years. He's probably like 70 years old.
Yeah.
Goes in and I tell him what I want, and he looks at my bald head and goes, sometimes you got to know when to fold them.
Wow. Okay.
And he's an expert witness.
All right. So what do we got going here? I came in this morning early.
Of course. Kevin came in the same time.
I saw a couple satellite trucks in the parking lot, Fox and Channel 4 WBZ, and I'm like, wow, is there something going on? And
it's on the news.
I saw him, too.
Unfortunately, there was nothing. It was just some town meeting that they had last night, and apparently
this was the only place.
You know, we're now the Walmart parking lot where they just park overnight. So no real big news.
No. That's not accurate.
What?
I'm sure they were here because the story from the town meeting was that Foxborough passed a new law, ordinance, whatever, that they can fine people $200 for public drunkenness. Most of the public drunkenness occurs at Gillette Stadium.
In Foxborough.
No, I know.
Most of the public drunkenness in Foxborough occurs at Gillette Stadium.
Well, yeah, it was the Foxborough town that passed
the
law.
Right, but it was
it
last night.
Has nothing to do with any other town.
No, I didn't want to make it sound like it was
right, but
like
it's
everyone.
All public drunkenness. News. And when they do the news story, they want to do a live shot from Gillette Stadium. I don't know why they couldn't just show a crowd at Gillette Stadium looking drunk.
I don't know why they didn't do it last night. They're still here this morning. Anyway, so it was nothing really big, is my point. I guess off the top of the news, Robert Crafton is in Israel, and someone caught up to him. Was it
Necken? Yes.
Necken's in Israel? Oh, because they were with Deval Patrick, the governor of Massachusetts.
Right. So they asked him about it, and he said, I'm making my commitment. I'm honoring my commitment to this trip, but if the commissioner says my presence is required, he'll
Well, I think it was interesting before he said that. He said,
back.
We made the plans for this trip. Thinking
right.
that
it was supposed to
a
get
deal
done.
Would have already been made.
Right. Well, he's been consistent with that all offseason. He has always said that that he expected it to get done and avoid a lockout. So,
Fred,
yeah,
I'm just going to let you know now.
Yeah,
I'm taking the month of October off because I was assuming it wasn't going to get done. That evidently that makes it okay.
Well, no, he's thinking positively.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So's Paul. Positively for him.
Well, according to reports, there's a big contingent of everybody there today in Washington at this mediator's office, and we'll
George
see.
George Cohen.
I'm thinking optimistically. I think by the end of the week we're going to have something.
Another extension.
It will not be a lockout, and it won't be decertification.
I think you're right.
So it's probably going to be another extension.
That
could
be my guess.
But that, to me, that's hopeful too.
Oh yeah.
But at some point, you have to adhere to the deadline. Deadlines mean things. Get it done by the deadline.
We like them to do that. Yes.
I mean, what if we on Monday morning told Gannett, you know what, we'll get it to you next week.
Right.
Well, no, it's a deadline. Right. We have to get it done.
Right. And you know, we have readers that you know we answer to.
Right.
They expect their PFW.
Yeah, but they have no one to answer to now.
But what the deadline that they'll hit up is when they start losing out on the times when they can do mini camps and stuff.
Right.
That's going to be their deadlines.
Right now, they're just answering to each other.
Right.
Free agency can't start,
right.
But that's the players. That doesn't affect
the draft
fans
will happen regardless. So they're not really under any big pressure yet.
Right.
They will be soon, though.
I know. It just dilutes the whole thing.
I think that's why a lot of people
set a deadline, honor
it. But it's self-imposed.
But honor
it's like when Paul goes, so I'm going to do two Pulse stories in a feature today, and I talked to him at 4:30, and he goes, I started one of the Pulse stories.
Right.
It's a self-imposed deadline.
Right. You know, as long as I get it done, you know, when it has to get
done.
The
real deadline that affects other people, not just yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think that's why a lot of people thought this might drag on through the summer. And, you know, we heard Darren Revell this morning. Andy and I heard him on the way in on WEEI, and he said he originally thought August 15th. And the reason I think a lot of people thought like that is because that's truly when, you know, the rubber meets the road. That's when it had to be done. That was when things were going to get affected in a negative way. And, yeah, it would be unfortunate if you lost out in a whole offseason of free agency. And it'll be unfortunate if the teams weren't allowed to have their mini camps and passing camps and all that offseason preparation. But none of that truly would have impacted the season, the 2011 season, unless you go beyond, you know, that point in August where you're not sufficiently able to have training camp and get prepared for a season.
You got a little bit of a cold? You sound a little
stuffy. Yeah.
You got a cold?
I got a little bit.
Yeah?
Plus, my headphones aren't really working right, so.
Well, that would have nothing to do with me.
No, I know.
Sick.
I was just like an aside. I don't hear.
Do you
take
the fish oil?
No, I don't take the fish oil.
You should. The omega-3.
I actually do, Fred. I know you're going to say.
It's good.
It does work.
I thought you didn't like seafood.
I don't. But they're, they're odorless and tasteless.
Right. No, I started taking the omega-3 about a year and a half ago. Ever since then, if I feel a cold coming on, like, I'll get it, but it'll go away within 24 hours. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I've noticed that. That when I do get sick, if I do, it doesn't last very long. Mm. So.
Yeah, I'm
plus, I have a more shiny
up.
Coat.
I'm not really,
a more shiny coat.
Yeah.
I'm just a little stuffed up. I think it's the temperature changes.
It is,
50,
yeah.
The 50-plus degrees over the weekend and down to, like,
right.
Yesterday. That was a cold walk yesterday.
My freaking yard is a mess. My mailbox, the plow snapped the wood, and it's been up because of all the snow around it. But now the snow melted, so it just fell over. So I had to unscrew the actual box from the post, and the box is just sitting on the ground. And hopefully the mailman will.
I was going to say, have you gotten mail while it's been lying on the ground?
Well, you can't dig into the ground and put a new post in because it's frozen. So yeah, I'm screwed.
There's a lot of stuff, too. Like,
what do you do?
Now that the snow is, like, off the grass in a lot of places,
sand.
There's so much sand
and
crap.
It's just a
broken
mess.
Tree limbs.
I'm telling you, now invest in Lowe's or Home Depot today because spring they're going to be doing a business.
I already got my four-step.
They are going to be doing a business.
Lawn. Got to start raking.
Andy, you're very quiet.
I'm just analyzing your business plan. I'm just thinking. They're global companies, and you're looking at it from your little perspective.
No, I think
like go buy rakes.
No,
and,
but
it's not leaves
don't
everywhere.
Don't you think that the weather has been crazy all for everyone, not just us?
Yeah, but I think it's always crazy for someone somewhere.
I don't think it's going to be that much more significant run on like.
Right.
I'm
just
spring,
picturing
spring
you putting your
life
savings into Lowe's,
economy,
and then a week later saying
the economy's a little bit better.
Oh, well, that's a different
reason. The weather.
It is?
The weather is
you buy gas
was terrible. You know, I think.
I think the weather is. I kind of agree with Andy. The weather is always bad, and yards are always a mess. I don't think the run on, you know, spring lawn care products is going to be significantly higher this year because we had so much snow.
Like, what's flooding this year earnings is in Ohio.
I have no doubt their earnings will be great.
Great.
But
great.
Not, they, I don't I think mean, they'll be much
they're
different.
They're two mega companies for a reason. I'm with Fred on that.
I just like
Fred
saying great the way we say it.
Yeah.
All right, back to football. So we got Robert Kraft in Israel
talking about football?
Ready to jump on a plane at a moment's notice if he feels the need to do that.
Why would he need to do that?
If the commissioner asked him to.
I think, you know.
Because he's influential.
Because part of
he could
negotiating.
Can't get on a conference call or a
no,
little
he could.
Picture.
No, but, you know, sometimes face-to-face is more effective than email or conference call or telex. As we've been,
yeah, I don't know what telex is. Still.
I don't know.
I didn't fill that column in on my expense report.
So we've got that. We've got those guys negotiating. As far as player movement, there's nothing. Nothing going on right now. We just came out with an issue of PFW this morning, so that'll be a
post combine.
That'll be a new stance tomorrow and mailed out tonight. If you're a male subscriber or a female subscriber.
I knew it. Eric will get his too, right?
Oh. What is he now?
You're an
androgynous subscriber.
No.
You're a cock subscriber.
He's got a nice green sweater.
Green V-neck. Yeah.
With a green undershirt.
Olive.
Cam Newton's pro day, Fred.
Yep.
Yes,
that's
at Auburn.
People can watch it this year. I believe it's available on ESPN3 for the draft nicks out there that want to give us an update. Mm. I don't actually know what time it starts.
Who gets that? Do you get that?
Everybody gets it.
It's on the web.
Yeah, it's a web thing.
Oh, it's just the web thing. I'm talking about on TV.
No, it's 360.
Because I have a channel on TV, ESPN3, but you don't get it.
Oh, really?
So I don't know. 334.
Yeah, you can
like
get
that.
It on TV.
No, that's ESPN3D, I believe.
Well, no, you
it
can.
It says
you,
ESPN3.
Yeah, you can
that's
get
it.
It
says
Andy.
On it.
I've got it on my package because you can get it through like Xbox too.
Oh. You can get a prescription for that if you put it on your package again.
If it lasts longer than 4 hours, you better get it checked.
You knew immediately where we were going.
Oh man.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the ACE ticket hotline.
Freddie, the story's still Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
I find him fascinating. Not just me, the Twitter feeds, this guy Russ Landy, I don't really know who he is. Sporting news kind of guru, cheap Mel Kiper.
You sure it's not Landry?
No, Landy, L-A-N-D-E. Okay. Or it may just be Land. I don't really know how to say it, but it's not that guy. Not Chris Landry.
It's actually pronounced.
Well, that's who I'm thinking about.
Landy. But he had Quinn. A few days ago he tweeted about Quinn. I just finished my work and I'm going to give him a second round grade. And then I got a tweet today. Somebody said that Landy came out with his top 40 prospects, and Quinn is at 6. And Pro Football Weekly had him in the second round. And Michael Lombardi has him as the second overall pick to Denver. He's just
I think it's because of that
variance.
Year off. That's where the
Pioli said, well, don't worry about it. Well, who cares? He has tape. Everybody knows what he is.
If that's true, it's ridiculous, the year off. Now, I can understand this. Varying opinions on a guy's ability.
Well, how can
that's
it be
fine.
That varying? But that has to be that's the only explanation.
A year off is that's well, ridiculous.
But that,
not
isn't
just
that
the
only explanation for the divergent reviews?
Do you just mean the year away from playing or
year away from playing?
How he got to that by being suspended?
No. Not
DB
because
who doesn't
yeah,
care?
Well, that's
who,
what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why I would disregard it. It has nothing to do. I mean, it's if he was a year off because he. You know, had all kinds
had
of
back surgery, like
or violent Markowski. Issues with women, or you know, some significant
return.
But I'm saying if those were the reasons why he didn't play last year, he had violence things, or you know, major drug law breaking things, or guns,
right?
And
but to
stuff
me,
like
that would be
he'd get
pushed down.
He took a gift from an agent.
No, I'm not even considering the why he was off.
From
I'm
a
just
jeweler
saying that
or whatever it was. Yeah.
The only explanation in my mind that someone could have him as high in the first round to the second is performance. Will he be as good as we thought he was?
But as Pioli said, it's the same as an injury. I said to Eric, the last two drafts, you could have a guy that plays a total of like a quarter. Bradford played like a quarter of a game or whatever. The last two number one overall picks potentially be guys that didn't play their last year of college.
No, I know, but that's still. If the last time you saw him on film was a year ago,
and
he
but
was
even
good, you know.
even Gronkowski last year had missed an entire
True.
Year with his back, and he
and
was
Gresham, and
he was consistently labeled as a surefire second round pick, and that's where he was
because of that. maybe he would have been first
if he hadn't. No, but because of the injury.
He was a second-round pick.
He was a second-round pick.
Not he could be the 10th pick, right, or he could be the 38th pick, or he could be the 42nd pick.
His
That's
talent that they
Quinn.
Knew of and his year off let you know. Right.
I have no problem with
round.
Something affecting a guy's value.
Sure.
But Michael Lombardi is tied in, and he thinks his value is 2, and this Pro Football Weekly thinks value is in the 30s.
Right.
Or whatever.
And
so,
and what? And you still haven't got to the bottom.
I think
what
they
that...
must know something. I'm giving them the benefit
now,
of the doubt.
Do you think there's anything to do with the
tumor?
The tumor.
That
maybe some,
sure, but
some people, some NFL people, medical, have been scared off by this. And,
you,
and
well, shouldn't Lombardi talk to some of those people?
Like, right.
He works for NFL Network, which has free reign of the combine, where they do all this medical testing.
I have no
testing.
Idea. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to come up with plausible reasons.
I think that would be irresponsible.
There's such a disparity.
If Pro Football Weekly has one team out of 32 that said, we're worried about the tumor, well, you got to say that 31 aren't and lean with the majority.
Now, have they come
consensus.
Out with a post-combine
mock? I don't believe so yet.
No? Have you called them?
Who's them? Nolan, Andy.
No. Why don't you call Pro Football Weekly
Mike
and
Nolan?
Ask?
Naraki. Naraki.
I know what he's talking about.
Do some reporting.
What am I going to say? Like,
ask
I got
them.
A serious problem with where you got.
No.
Oh boy, he's going.
What do you want? I mean, find out why they have him rated in the second round.
But they're not going to tell me.
Unless, why not?
Because if they were really going to tell me, they would tell me. In the thing,
oh for God's sake!
In the thing, if in the
look, in the mock, in the explanation.
I'm Andy Hartnum from Patriots Football Weekly. Our pre-draft is one of our biggest issues.
I'm Andy Hart from the real PFW.
You know, we evaluate all the different publications, mock drafts. You know, we're wondering why a lot of people have them high in the first. And
call
you
him right now. Get him on the horn.
Let's see if we can get him on the horn.
Get Nolan. He doesn't
call
even
who?
Move. He doesn't
call
even
who?
Pretend that he's going to listen to us, friend. Nolan Naraki,
Pro Football Weekly.
Or any one of their football draft expert writers.
Let's see if we can get an explanation.
Okay.
So ask him, you know, do you have 10 minutes to go on the air with
the real PFW
in progress?
In progress.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I think it's worth
it. I do
phone
too.
Call.
I think it's very interesting.
Unlike Charlie Sheen, Kevin has one gear. Slow.
Slow.
Losing.
Snail blood. He's got snail blood in those veins.
Leave him alone. He's trying to do two things at once. He's opening a book and he's on the web. And
he's yet to succeed doing one thing at once.
Headphones are half
and
on
I'm about
or
to
off.
Really throw him in his head in a whirlwind because on the Ace Ticket Hotline is Sean in Salt Lake City. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I keep on seeing all your guys' picks and everything, and I'm not understanding why, because me personally, I think we should go all defense in the first three picks. What do you mean?
I wouldn't be totally opposed to that, but I do think there are some serious needs on offense and offensive line, which certainly fall into that category now.
Well, you know, I agree that this offseason is all about making that defense better. But in the draft, it's a dynamic process. You don't know who picked in front of you. You don't know who's going to be left.
Situation.
So to say definitively first three picks are defensive guys, I think that's kind of painting yourself in a corner. But I do agree with you that the focus this offseason should be defense.
Plus, healthy, I'm not so sure. I mean, if you add a pass rusher, if you get the guy, whoever the guy is, whether it's Quinn, Von Miller, whoever, who comes in and has one of those rookie years, Pro Bowl, 12 sacks, becomes
McCourty
a playmaker.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know how good the rest of the defense can be if you add that dynamic. When you bring back Ty Warren, you bring back Lee Bodden, you have the development of McCourty, you have the development of Chung, Mayo. I think you have a lot of pieces in place. If you get a pass rush, that defense might be leaps and bounds better than you think it can be now.
It could be. So what your point is that one
where
guy,
would all these picks
one
go?
Guy could do it.
If I mean, I can, okay, if you let Gerard Warren go, maybe you have a starting job at defensive end. But, I mean, you have guys basically that could or should be starters at all the other positions. So if you draft them, are you drafting a backup?
Well,
if it was me, I would go outside linebacker first.
Me too.
Defensive end and CB.
Oh, I definitely wouldn't draft a cornerback. But the other ones are fine. Outside linebacker. I'd even be willing to take two outside linebackers with those three picks.
But see, even Paul, I know what you're saying with cornerback, Paul, but if there's a guy in the board that you think is an upgrade to your team and as the perfect value for where he is,
But it's not just black and white. No, yeah, it's not.
But you make it sound like,
because if
a
you
vacuum.
Don't fill your huge needs, yeah. I don't care if he's slightly better than Lee Bodden.
Well, no,
you're still going to suck because they're going to throw the ball all over you because they have no pressure.
I know it's a combination always of value and need, no matter what they say. It's never one or the other. But again, I wouldn't rule out picking a cornerback.
I'm not ruling out any position.
But slightly better. If you tell me that you have, he's 10 times better than Devin McCourty and you're going to have the two best corners in the league for the next decade. Okay. But if he's only marginally better than Lee Bodden.
Right.
No, I'm not doing it. I have needs that I must fill.
And you're also painting a picture of the cornerback is, you know, way up here in terms of, you know, he's graded out as an 8. And all the other positions are sixes.
Right.
Well, yeah, if that happens, I'll take the best player if it's head and shoulders difference.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be the case based on what the people who are analyzing this thing, they talk about pass rushing as being a very deep position in this draft.
Probably
and
the
I
deepest.
Think, and I think there are guys.
Maybe
that
they take two guys. Well, maybe they, you know.
Sure.
Who
maybe
knows?
That's a good idea.
Maybe that's what Indian Paul said about 5 minutes ago when Sean first called. And we were agreeing with Sean in that we liked the idea of taking defensive players.
Because my thought is, in 03, 04, when our defense was the best in the league, we didn't have to put up 35, 40 points.
That's
we put
true.
Up 14, 17 points, and you could put a W there.
Yep.
I think I think it was 21 was the.
But if you put an offensive line of Paul, Eric, and Andy out there next year, and Brady goes down in week one, I don't care how good your defense is, you're not winning.
Yep.
You still have to protect the franchise. He's legitimate.
I mean, I'm not saying not to get
offensive. We can hide Eric at guard.
I was thinking get offensive line with our second round pick and our third round picks.
That may be a possibility.
Two out of the three would.
But the only issue is you might need an elite guy. You might need a guy to, if you're going to let Mankins go or Mankins goes away.
I was just going to say, don't forget
an
about
anchor.
The offensive line.
You need a starter immediately.
I agree with the caller about those positions, and they need to be addressed in the offseason.
Yes.
But I won't be shocked if they're not the high picks in the draft.
Well, the problem is when they haven't gone the high pick, the guy hasn't been great.
I know.
Mankins, Light, and Vollmer have been good, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are first and second round picks.
Yeah.
Kazier.
The only exception is Copen.
Copen, has been
the
good.
Only exception.
And I don't know how good he is. Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
But he's been a starter.
He played between Stephen Neal and Logan Mankins, who we say are Pro Bowl caliber guards.
The other draft picks they've used, a lot of them are no longer here. And there's a lot of offensive linemen that are no longer here.
Just because they play doesn't mean they're great or they're somebody
two
you can
guys
build
they drafted
around.
Last year. Didn't even make this.
Yeah,
the
but
squad.
I mean, you know, the Clint Oldenburgs and the Corey Hilliards and the Ted Larsons.
Yeah, well, I think that's the nature of the NFL.
About Larson,
you're going to go through these guys.
With Tampa
it's
Bay.
A churn.
No, but you don't usually go through them if you take them with the 25th pick in the draft or whatever. If you draft an offensive lineman, you're looking for the guy to come in and play. You're not looking to churn him out.
That's true.
So, and they haven't had a lot of success with veterans. You know, we all say you can go get a guard.
Yeah.
They haven't done that very often where they've gone and got a veteran guard who came in and started.
Well, they retire.
They either retire or they get
right.
cut.
Right, but I'm just saying their MO is to develop guys.
Yeah.
Whether it's a draft pick of their own
or
a waiver wire practice squad guy who 2 years develops.
But
thanks for the call.
Sean's overall point, though, I would tend to agree with. I do think they need help on the offensive line.
Well,
and I would be shocked if Belichick doesn't take one in the first three
and
rounds.
And because of the unique draft
at
the Patriots have, saying, quote, I'd use the first three on defense, really it means you're going to use a second-round pick on offense. Because the first three are the first 33 picks in the draft.
Right.
So you still have a second and a third and another third. You can still get some high picks on offense.
Yeah, and I think there's plenty of, Andy said it, there's plenty of needs on offense as well. And they're not just, you know, they could use. I think they need to get another running back. They need to get another wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And they absolutely have to have more offensive linemen. Now, how they get those guys, free agency, if that ever comes to pass this season or not, the draft, it's going to be interesting, the whole dynamic. Fred and I were talking to somebody, you know, not a decision maker, but somebody in the organization about the dynamic of having the draft before free agency, which certainly looks like is a strong possibility now. Doesn't look, you know, it's certainly no lock that this gets all tied up before the draft. How that changes the mindset if you're able to draft before you fill any needs in free agency, if that's going to change anything. I mean, I know they keep saying we're going to go, you know, I read Andy and Eric's stuff from the combine. A lot of those guys said, no, we just prepare for the draft the same way. But
it has
changes.
To change.
It's got to change a little bit, right?
Especially when you have the largest free agent class ever on the horizon.
Yeah.
Whether it's before or after those 500 people, you know there are a lot of bodies out there you could have. but you don't know when you're going to have them, what the cost is going to be, and all that. It's an interesting.
What kind of reaction did you get from that person?
The person that we talked to actually had mentioned how he thought this is the way it should be. You should have the draft should be much earlier.
Yeah, that's what we said last week.
Fred's
right?
been eating that up.
Did you talk about that on Thursday?
What's that?
The draft, you know, having the draft earlier.
Yeah.
Based on that conversation. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, it's interesting. It's interesting if you did that earlier, you know, how that would change your needs in free agency.
I think it's one of those things. 2 years into it, it would just be that's the way we do business. You wouldn't feel any different.
Yeah. I mean, I have some theories that I would rather keep to myself.
Okay, Paul, you do that. That makes for good radio. When you keep them to yourself, we get good radio. I don't know what that means, Paul. Can you express it verbally?
Keshish.
Stephen from...
You never have any strong opinions.
No.
Stephen from Warwick University writes in, and he has an article from March 1st from Pro Football Weekly.
Terrible website, by the way. Oh, no, wait. That was sporting news. Sorry.
Says they seem to be changing...
They
seem to be changing their tune on Quinn... Having spoken to some GMs, I'd expect them to move him up on their board in their next mock draft. This is from the article. When NFL GMs Tom Heckert of the Browns and Scott Pioli of the Chiefs were asked to comment on the Robert Quinn X factor, they both seemed to believe that his limited body of work would not be too much of a handicap.
Hey, that was my question at the combine with Pioli.
I don't know.
That's a great question, Andy.
They didn't put Andy in the transcript, though, so no one knows it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a risk, Heckert said. It would be very similar to a guy that was hurt and didn't play or miss 5 or 6 games. It's obviously less exposure you have on a kid, and I think you have to make your own judgments on what exactly happened. You can look at it as a positive, too, where he's not taking the year of beating. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
And he's really young.
Yeah.
He's 20.
Yeah, I don't think that the year off specifically is having much to do with this disparity. And
if that's their logic, if it was just all the year off, then they're just stupid.
Well, because I also don't think that necessarily a lot of these picks are mock drafts. I think that there a lot of these different services right now are rating their boards. Like you said, that Landy guy gave him a second round grade. Well, that's not necessarily a mock draft thing. I think he's putting a grade on the guy. Right. And the question is, how many guys does he have with a first round grade?
Apparently only 5 if he's going to make him his 6th best prospect.
And if that's the case, then...
Then he's drunk.
Yeah, I agree. I can't believe there's only 5 guys in the draft.
He may be assigning his rating.
Right.
But he's looking at what other teams might want or do.
And a lot of these guys do that a lot, you know, a lot of the serve, and it's not wrong, you know, it's one thing to put together a mock draft. I think these guys are going to get taken where that, you know, in these spots, and it's another thing to rank your board. You know, you set your board and you say, okay, these are the best 40 guys in this draft, and I have Robert Quinn at 35, and that's why he's a second round grade. If that's what they're doing, then I would really scratch my head as to how there's such a wide gap in these guys. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Hey, a new thing that we're going to be adding, I think Dave from Storrs, Connecticut, he's been a long-time listener. He said he was the creator of the original Facebook page several years ago, and he just made Kevin the administrator.
You'll regret that.
Kevin now has control of the PFW in Progress Facebook page. So we need
Why is it now known as Facebook, brought to you by Kevin?
So we need
it's updated 4 a.m. daily.
No, it's actually called Kevin's Facebook.
We need now to figure out what we're going to do with that Facebook page. So,
okay,
maybe we can talk about
Who's
that.
My boy? You talk to him?
Wait, did Kevin, you talked to Pro Football Week, and they said
why
no.
Why did you not say this on the mic?
Yeah. Get on a mic.
Why did they say no?
Said no because they're too busy getting their next mock draft.
He can't
coming out on Thursday.
Figuring out why the morons have.
He said to email him on Thursday after the next one comes out. Maybe
we won't want to talk to him then because he'll have fixed the mistake and he'll have Robert
Don't
Quinn somewhere in the top half of the first round.
I did what you told me to do.
Well, no, that would still be a reason to talk to him and say,
sure,
why
we'll
did you change it?
And I'll yell at him.
Yeah, just like that. Yeah.
Well,
set him up for Thursday then.
Freddie,
he's not that busy because anyone who's busy gets an unknown caller doesn't answer.
He made the effort. And he actually didn't talk to
it's
him.
It's transference, Kevin.
And not surprisingly,
he's mad at Naraki. He's
they don't
want
to talk to us.
Right. Screw them.
We should put together a list of the people that are too important to talk to us. That'd be impressive.
You know what? I'm that kid. Screw them! We're not mad at you. We're not mad at you. You did
I'm
all right.
I'm not mad at you.
Halep?
I don't blame the plummeting ratings on you.
Tom in Bedford has an answer from my mailbox thing. He says, get one of those plastic gallon buckets from Home Depot, put the box, post on the mailbox in the bucket, fill the bucket with sand. It should get you until the ground is unfrozen. That's what I'll do.
I've seen those out there.
Yeah. It looks ugly, but, I'll do that.
What is this?
Because I had the best looking mailbox on the street. I really did. I did. It was a nice solid wood post, painted.
I doubt that. You live in a ritzy neighborhood.
No. Painted number. A lot of the people, they just.
The guy with the putting green does not have a nicer mailbox.
No, ours was. We had the best. We went from the worst because our mailbox, when I first, moved in 10 years ago, I bought those, stick on numbers and letters. It looked like a ransom note on the side of my mailbox. People actually made fun of it. So then,
ooh, look at this.
My wife's mother gave us a nice painted mailbox, and I replaced it, and I painted the post, and it really looked nice with the. And
otherwise known as your mother-in-law.
And I was really upset when the plow knocked it over. So anyway, all right, we got a lot of emails coming in, phone calls, and we're going to get to them right after this.
BFW in progress. Not your run-of-the-mill talk show.
Look, I'm not sure this place is working. The drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com Radio.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from BCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest plastic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance to get a word in. Call the PFW boys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. Food's here. Who bought food today?
Every James. Tuesday.
Must be James.
But I thought he buys it from Omega.
Grande.
No, Grande.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, James. The most interesting Patriots fan in the world.
Big game, James.
For lunch.
Paul, did you see these new things? You like peanut butter cups, right? You know how the annoying part of the mini ones is you got to open every one of them? They're now selling them unwrapped in bags so you can just, like, throw them in by the handful. You ought to put on 10 or 15.
Are these Reese's?
Yeah. You know how they usually come with a little foil wrapper and it's kind of a pain in the ass to, and that, I would assume, slows you down from eating too many. Well, they're going to sell them just in bulk now, unwrapped, so just straight to the mouth. Right, straight poppers. Just breaking news. Giants defensive end Justin Tuck says he would not select Auburn quarterback Cam Newton with the number one pick.
Okay.
Who gives a rat's ass?
Justin Tuck is
right. Who the Tuck is he?
And that's ESPN, right? That's not...
Yeah, that's ESPN right now with his former teammate Antonio Pierce discussing it.
Okay.
Because today, as I said earlier, is the new the Auburn Pro Day. Not the Newton Pro Day. The Auburn Pro Day. Because Nick Fairley would probably like to lay claim to that as well, since he could be a potential 1-2-3 pick.
1-2-3, yeah.
Speaking of Pro Days... No. have you guys seen the pictures of Tom Brady in Brazil?
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately.
It is a terrible look for him, this latest one. He's got the ears now, like the hair looped behind his ears. And I don't know if you've ever seen that show Criminal Minds on CBS. There's a guy on
that. He makes Reed look masculine.
Yeah.
That's how bad Brady looks.
That's what he looks like, though. That nerd that's on CSI. He really needs to do something.
It's awful.
You know, now even usually I like, you know, leave him alone. Who cares about his hair? But what's he doing? What's he doing? You know?
Taking his wife's direction.
Right. Thursday, that's what you'll be saying. Leave him alone. Who cares about his hair? That's the way you roll.
And you know my theory about long-haired quarterbacks. They don't win. He hasn't won since he's been a long-haired quarterback.
Well, for his time, Joe Namath had long hair. He had kind of long hair.
But not
before my time.
He wasn't a hippie. He lived during the hippie era, and he didn't have hippie hair.
No.
You can't win with long hair as a quarterback. You just can't. Blaine Gabbert will cut his before he wins. Don't worry.
All right.
Sam's was even a long lit.
But he went to the combine, and it was because he knew the deal.
Exactly. I mean, if there's anything else that proves it, Brady was great, got long hair, and now he loses in the playoffs. It just proves it.
Fact, not opinion.
Exactly.
Maki in Ireland writes in.
Maki?
Maki.
Yeah.
A Maki draft?
He says, hey, guys, and bonjour, Eric.
Now, do you take offense to that? Is that a shot at you? Or?
I don't think so.
Told you. Tomorrow.
Yeah, Eric is giving up being angry for Lent.
And pessimistic. And
so you're saying right
bitter.
Now you are angry.
He has been so angry the last 2 days at everything.
Really?
Just ranting and raving.
What's going on?
I'm getting it all out before Ash Wednesday.
Okay. But anything in particular you're angry at?
Is that what Catholics do?
What? No. I'm just teasing.
Go on a rager for whatever you're going to give up?
No, well, some do, yeah.
Have like, if I was going to have cheeseburgers, I'd have 35 cheeseburgers.
That's the whole reason why it's called Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday.
Because you're supposed to gorge yourself the day before and then go on the Lenten fast.
How long is that for?
40 days.
Wow.
So you're going to be happy Eric for 40 days?
No. It's not just the 40 days. The whole intention of Lent is to give up things that are bad for you in life. It's not just for the 40 days. That's a common misconception. It's supposed to give up bad things for you.
So you're going to give up.
I'm going to try to give up being as mad and bitter and angry and pessimistic and
as you are.
Even in
as
that
I am,
sentence,
yeah.
He got pompous. That's a common misperception. Like he's chastising you.
But
you
it is. Cause people say, "Oh, I'm going to give up chocolate," and then at the end of Lent, they start eating chocolate again. That you're missing the point. You're supposed to give up things that are bad for you as a person, not necessarily, you know, food items or whatever.
It's like New Year's.
It's like New Year, exactly.
The priest should stop diddling little boys for Lent.
That's a good point.
Paul is like,
how many of those have you broken already?
Paul's going through plastic, silverware.
He looks like he's angry at his calzone.
Stop pushing
so hard.
He's snapping forks and knives.
It's
in
not
his calzone.
Going anywhere. It's not alive.
It's already dead. Yes, you don't have to hold it down. You have to pee a circle around it like Matt in Oregon does.
I think these are a little different. There's a little bit more of a bend here.
So then hold it straight up and
just
down.
Just pick up the calzone and eat it like a sandwich.
It's too greasy.
Too greasy.
What do you got? Pepperoni? Oh, yeah, those just ooze grease.
You can't do that with these.
I can actually hear him getting fatter.
Oh, my God.
What a jerk. David writes
in. You know what? He's not giving up for Lent.
What?
Being
I'm
an
not
a-hole.
Catholic.
Doesn't matter. You can still try to improve yourself.
And I do that on a normal basis. I don't need a date to tell me.
Yes, that's what you're known as. The guy who always tries to improve himself.
I'm not trying to improve myself for you. It's for me, Eric, my family. Not a fraud.
I feel bad for them.
Anyway,
and you're not going to be happy for 40 days or the rest of your life.
Anyway, Maki says,
until one thing happens, that might get you happy.
You're not going to be happy for 40 minutes.
Maki in Ireland says, I'm aware none of these trades are in any way possible, but just thought your analysis of these hypothetical trades would be interesting. Aaron Rodgers in a second round pick for Tom Brady.
I'd take it.
So would I.
Green Bay wouldn't.
No. Patrick Willis for Gerard Mayo in the 17th and 33rd pick this year.
I would not do it.
Those picks are too valuable. I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah, that's too much for... I mean, I like Willis more than Mayo, but you're adding two.
We talk about the playmaking, but you're not talking about that many plays over the course of a year.
Right.
No. Andre Johnson for Wes Welker in the second and the two first round picks. So Wes Welker in the two.
Same thing.
Again,
I wouldn't do
that. The picks
are
too valuable.
Okay.
What were the picks?
He didn't say which ones. He said the two first. There's only two. Right.
17 and 28.
Right. And Wes Welker for Andre Johnson.
I'd do it.
Really?
I think I would.
That's a lot of picks.
Yeah. Maybe Wes Welker's last season here.
It might be.
Well,
it's not as much
Wes Welker as it is the picks that you're giving up.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Fred.
See, I think in that deal, to steal a phrase from Paul, Wes Welker is loose change. I just see it as
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I wouldn't trade two first-round picks for Andre Johnson.
He's phenomenal.
He is. I agree.
DeMarcus Ware for Gerard Mayo and the two first-round picks.
Got to stop with the two first-round picks.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. One? I read that wrong. DeMarcus Ware for Gerard Mayo in the second first-round pick.
In a heartbeat.
I would do that.
Then
I would
so
do
28.
That. I would do one of them. Yeah.
28. Okay. Sue for Vince Wilfork in the 33rd pick. I mean, are you redoing your defense?
Yeah, because
he doesn't fit
the defense.
Right?
He's a gap shooter.
Your defense.
He's an aggressive, moving-ahead player, not a read-and-react guy.
LaRon Landry for Brandon Merriweather in the Patriots' second round pick.
I would just trade them Brandon Merriweather. I wouldn't want anything
in return.
Yeah.
I don't really care
for Frank
LaRon Landry, so I wouldn't do the deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that one.
Thanks, guys. Love the show. Eric's a douche.
Now, I'm pretty sure that was a shot. I didn't know about the French thing.
So, anyway.
No, you can yell at him. You have today.
Nope, that's all right.
Tomorrow
why,
you become why nice
put off,
Eric.
Why put off till tomorrow what you can start today?
What?
Now, you have a sandwich, Eric.
The whole idea is to try to improve as a person.
In addition to the sandwich, which is on a sesame seed roll, you have also a plain piece of bread.
Right, to take care of the oil and vinegar that's left over from the salad.
So, okay. All right.
Dab it.
Okay.
It's called La Scarpetta.
It's a lot of bread. What was that?
La Scarpetta, that's what it's called when you mop up the... like
douche bag.
I think Paul might choke.
Mike in Pensacola, man of PFW. That includes Eric.
Wow.
My question has to deal with the defensive line spot. How likely is it that the Patriots look into possibly drafting two defensive end outside linebackers in the first three rounds? What do you think? What do you guys think of Temple's tackle, Muhammad Wilkerson?
Everybody loves him.
I saw a film of this guy, and he has a tremendous motor and looks like he could be a very good fit at defensive end on this team. Did you see him at the combine?
I didn't see him, but Mayock was raving about him. He's going to be the late riser in this class and shoot up draft boards kind of guy.
Also, what is your opinion on Pitt defensive end Greg Romeus?
I liked him.
Finally, I heard that you guys say that Ty Warren might be a possible trade or cut a couple months back. Could it be because of health concerns, or does he have a high cap number this year? Thanks, and keep up the good work.
Well, he does have a pretty big contract, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're a little concerned about his health, too.
I think that would make it hard to trade him.
But that would definitely make it harder to trade him. But if his health is fine, I think it might just be because they're looking to go in a different direction. They feel like
they've learned to play enough without him over the last couple of years anyway. So.
Right.
Well,
Bill Belichick said.
I was going to bring that up. You did sense some kind of...
Tone.
Yeah, tone with Warren's decision to have the surgery instead of play through it. Do you think that lingers?
A little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Might.
I mean, not much has changed since, so why wouldn't it?
All right. Robin Marlboro Mass, good afternoon, ladies, he says. So that includes all of us.
I'm okay with that.
Our loss to the Jets sent me almost back to the Giants Super Bowl, but I'm back. I'm sure you've covered a lot since then, but I've been in media blackout. He's basically asking if there's any significant Patriot additions or subtractions.
Marcus really Stroud. Has been in a
really?
Blackout?
I mean,
he really doesn't know?
You can't check Patriots.com. That's too much.
I know. You're helping us out.
Blackout. He wants to know how the negotiations are going between the players and the owners.
Good.
Wow. Anyway, okay. Sure. All right, Rob. Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on Patriots.com. And
yeah. Read the blog.
Feel free.
Get yourself caught up.
But I think
he's asking questions. Marcus Stroud has signed.
No, I understand. But
Stephen Neal retired. We can answer some questions.
No, but
we're email driven.
We are. But I think it's a little selfish because other listeners have been listening. So all that information is available on Patriots.com is what I'm saying.
Maybe some of them
and it would
know.
Take you about
and the blog.
Take you about a half an hour to catch up.
And
totally.
Our tweets.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I was going to answer it, Rob.
I just don't think it's fair to whether, you know.
But Paul? Stroud did sign and Neal did retire.
He did. But any word on Kazier?
Hey, girl.
No
I know
word.
That was speculation.
That was from a source.
Yeah.
Sounded like an agent. That was my speculation.
May have been. Kazier's agent.
And, you know, every agent in the world was at the combine, so... Would make sense that the agent for Kazier may have been there, who said they would have to cut him because he would not take a pay cut.
Georgia,
what a terrible deal that was, and I believe we said it at the time when they signed Nick Kazier to an extension. I believe we questioned it, ripped it, and I've seen nothing. There was no reason for it, no good idea, no anything. In fact, it pissed off your All-Pro guard.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
And his cantankerous old coot of an agent.
Who may or may not be certifiably insane.
I kind of like him. He entertains me.
George from Goffstown, New Hampshire. Hi, Andy, Fred, Paul, and Eric. Other than Tyron Smith of USC, I really don't see a tackle that's worth a high first-round pick. If the Patriots take an O-lineman in the first, I hope it's a guard-tackle combo like Watkins. I've seen rumors that Brooks Reed could go as high as 28 with his speed and 1.52 10-yard split. Wow.
Wow.
Who would be your pick at 17? Another defensive end, outside linebacker, or a five technique guy?
Outside linebacker.
Outside linebacker, defensive end.
You can get the five. And Brooks Reed, I do not think, is a Patriot. I don't think he has the athletic ability to stand up, play in space up on 2 feet, put his foot in the ground.
Oh, boy.
All the and he came off as dumb as dirt coming from a very simplistic college scheme, kind of readily admitted that when he said,
that was
Barry Gardner's teaching me scheme and 4-3
scheme
and
3-4. And
he said he put his hand on the ground and tried to get to the quarterback, which he was pretty good at. Not the best. If you just want that guy, I'll take Ryan Kerrigan because he was the most productive of those guys.
You know, I'm starting to get a little bit sold on Ryan Kerrigan.
Oh, he can play. I told you, I didn't want to like him, but I kind of like him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he can do everything you need to do, quote unquote, but... I've also said I think that's overrated. I don't see Tully Bantakane and Jermaine Cunningham doing all these things in space athletically. And Kerrigan got to the quarterback and forced fumbles when he got there, and I'd like to see that on this field sometimes.
Okay.
And Maura O'Brien Wilson in our graphics department has fallen in love with him looks-wise.
Oh.
Because he's got long hair. He's,
shaggy,
shredded.
Shaggy
muscular.
Mop hair.
Yeah, she likes those kind of surfer boy types.
All right.
She likes other types, too, but I won't get into that.
Oh, boy.
Josh writes in, Dear PFW, love the show. Especially last week, I thought it was awesome. Anyway,
Thursday was great. Best show ever.
Anyway, I wanted your opinion on J.J. Watt, especially Eric's. No offense, Andy, but I know your heart is set on Kindle. Sorry, Quinn. He means Kindle. Sorry, Quinn.
Oh, you mean the guy that didn't play, so we don't know whether I would have been right or not?
Also,
thank you.
Also, I think the second pick will be an offensive lineman. Pouncey's got good pedigree, and he's got the Florida connection for Bill. I know there's a lot of talk this year about drafting a fast wide receiver or trading for Fitzgerald, but I don't believe either will materialize. What about the kid from the Division II school last year? Also, what about drafting another cornerback or outside linebacker like the Reese?
Who's the kid from the Division II school?
I don't know.
Because Ohio is a
Division
I program.
School. Yeah.
I'm assuming he means Taylor Price because he's kind of the unknown receiver right now. Which I haven't given up on Taylor Price, but you also need to remember that Branch and Welker could be done. So you're not just needing a guy
for
next year.
Yeah.
You need to develop long-term some receivers maybe.
J.J. Watt, I'm still not entirely sold on because, as I think we talked about on the podcast, he has basically one season of big-time football at defensive end. He played scout team the year before at Wisconsin, but he started his career as a tight end on the offensive side, made the transfer to Wisconsin because of the opportunity to play defense, and he had to earn his way onto the team. He had this 1 year. I just he may have some ability. He certainly has some versatility, but I'm not too high on him. I wouldn't want to take him with either of the first two picks. If he's there in the second,
he won't be.
He won't be. But if he is, if he happens to be there, then maybe I would consider.
For some reason, everybody seems to love him. I'm with Eric. Not so sold. I go to the combine too.
Nick wants to know if Ingram was available at 17, would you take him?
No.
They don't need a running back.
I wouldn't.
Their first pick.
What about a 28?
No.
I wouldn't.
Okay, no one here would take
him. Paul doesn't take running backs in the first
round. No.
I only take elite running backs, and I don't think he's elite.
Thank you. You just...
Well, you don't want Adrian Peterson in the first round, you said.
I said that there would be exceptions for guys that are truly special. I don't think Mark Ingram is going to be a great pro. I don't either. 2 years ago when he won the Heisman, I certainly didn't see anything last year to change my mind when I thought Richardson was
just as dynamic. When's he coming out?
Okay.
Fred was distracted. We're talking running backs.
My phone started ringing.
I heard it. So did everybody on the air. Chinese ring or whatever that is.
I don't know what it is. It's just different.
I think of like those wide open doors and the little Chinese and they're sitting down.
Well, when I first heard it, I thought of that movie American Beauty.
Haven't seen it.
Remember that one?
Yeah, with Kevin Spacey. And,
you never saw American Beauty?
I don't think so.
That's your kind of movie. It's really dark and depressing.
That Brooklyn Decker?
No.
She's not American, is she?
Is she?
She's not American.
Is she American?
Brooklyn Decker? I think so.
I think she's American. But... there's nothing along those lines.
No nudity?
For you.
Actually, there is.
Nothing even worth seeing.
Isn't there? The teenage girl, and remember the guy who's filming her from across the street?
Oh, yeah.
But Eric took pointers.
He's also a teenager.
Who brought Mr. Skin?
Along those lines, I stumbled upon Original Sin, I believe, with Angelina Jolie the other night. Just happened to be clicking through and... good Angelina Jolie nudity with some...
Yeah, she's too skinny for me.
What the hell are you talking about?
She's too skinny for me.
Sometimes she gets too
Our
skinny.
Our show should make Cots bigger.
She was curvy in the right places.
Right, like the Lara Croft movie? That's not real. That was a fake.
Her boobs are real.
Not in Lara Croft.
Her boobs have always been real. They may be pushed up.
No. She has... I'm not saying
she has
fake
great boobs,
But in that movie, they did... something to make them
they
look
push
bigger.
Them up, yeah.
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see
you know
it or
what
hear
I'm
it.
I'm talking about Lara Croft.
Tomb Raider. I know what
those,
it is.
Those are...
She has big fake boobs in
stuffing.
The TV, in the video game.
That's stuffing.
I don't care. She has great boobs. I've seen them nude. I saw them nude the other night.
Because I'm passionate about breasts.
You know about junk. I know about breasts.
That's true.
You've done your research. I've done mine.
She's too skinny.
You're an idiot.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Derek from the University of Arizona is on the phone. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Don't be so excited.
Go bring it up a notch.
And you know why I'm calling. I want you to do it straight.
I just said your boy stinks. Brooks Reed.
Yeah, I know.
That's why he's
pretty disappointed by that.
I'm sorry about that, but he's not athletic enough. I mean, I think he'll be a good pass rusher in the NFL, but he's not. I don't think he's a guy for here. And
okay, no, I understand. I'm just curious because...
Have you ever talked to him by any chance?
Yeah, I have.
Because
he's a nice guy.
He seems really, really nice. No, I don't want to misrepresent that, but Rob Gronkowski's really nice too, and I'm starting to see something about Arizona football players.
But Gronk can play, legitimately can play,
too.
Oh,
and I think Brooks Reed can in the right place. I don't think this is the right place for him, maybe.
Okay, I'm just curious. I can be objective.
Maybe you can teach Fred later.
I talked to Rob Gronkowski last year at a party, and he was really nice, but he did come off kind of like he did. You go to the combine, he was a little bit of a douche.
Well,
you know, you could definitely tell he's been like everyone like he was the guy. You know what I'm saying? And I think Brooks Reed, I like him. I just think I'm just kind of curious because you're the only one I've really heard or read or anything say that you really don't like him because he seems to be, you know, a lot of people really like him.
Well. My issues are, I think he's a good, straight-ahead, hand-on-the-ground pass rusher.
Okay.
But I don't think that's a need here. And I also don't think that, doing just that one thing, which I don't think he does at an elite level, I think he does at a very good level, is worthy of a first-round pick, and now all of a sudden he's a first-round prospect.
Well, no, that's the thing. I think he has pass rush ability, but he really doesn't put up pass rush numbers.
No. What is it, 8-6 the last two?
If you watch him play... He he really gets to the ball. I really like how he's like a heat-seeking missile to the ball. And I think he just gets to the ball carrier, at least around. He gets himself into the play.
I think he's a high motor guy. And maybe that. Yeah. I don't find him an elite
motor guys,
talent.
Or are we looking for playmakers?
He can play on my team, but he can't play on my team if he has to be a first round pick and get paid like that.
I never said I wanted him to be a first round pick, though. In fact, I mentioned as like a late second, early third guy. Now, unfortunately, he's probably going to go higher than that now. And I'm just curious if you think that. Because like I said a second ago, a lot of people like him, and I think I'm not sure if maybe this year he's like this year's guy where everyone just attaches to this guy, and now his stock's boosting. You know, I'm not really sure if I don't really think he's. I would take him in the first round, pretty much.
I would
take him first round here. So, I think, like there's a lot of other guys that I like a lot more.
Well, Ryan Kerrigan is a guy that I think you can compare in a lot of ways. They're both white. They both have high motors. They're both straight ahead pass rushers. I think Kerrigan has a bigger upside. He's been far more productive in college. When you look at Kerrigan's numbers.
Who did you say was the player that had a lot of good things to say about him? Wasn't that Von Miller? And then
yes.
There was like someone else.
Was raving about how could I not get better when I work with Ryan Kerrigan, and how could I not put on weight when I'm working out hard with Ryan Kerrigan? He's clearly got it.
Yeah, no, that means something to me. I think that's kind of interesting.
And he comes from a scheme that, by the way, develops NFL defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rushers year after year, going back for decades now. And
yep.
Brooks Reed is telling me I had to go to Barry Gardner to learn, quote, scheme.
Yeah.
That concerns me.
Yeah,
a lot of schemes
in
the NFL, especially in New England.
Did he actually do the air quotes?
No, but it was there.
It was
the only thing about Brooks Reed is I understand that Arizona's defense is pretty simplistic, but at the same time, I don't know. I just get a feeling when I watch the guy, I just know he can play. So
easy.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if he'd be a great fit here, and I definitely don't want to take him in the first round, but I definitely would be intrigued at the end of the second round, you know, because I just think he has the ability to get up the passer, and I think we need a third, you know, a three down outside linebacker first. But you know, the more guys that we can take at that position, you know, take four of them for all I care. We need help at that position.
Sure, so. If he can be the second or third guy I get there, I'll take him. The trouble is, I think he's going to have a career like Jarvis Green or Mike Wright. Team that has him, the fans will like him. He's a high motor. He always seems to get that sack we need in that situation. But that only works if you're a mid-round pick or if you're a first-round pick, you're supposed to get 12 of those and get it when you're getting double-teamed.
And Jarvis Green got a lot of his sacks when the game was out of hand, when he was coming in at the end of the game. So
I think the team that drafts him, they'll probably like him, but he won't live up to a first-round billing.
Okay. I just wanted to ask that. But funny you brought up Mike Wright, because I really am not a fan of J.J. Watt.
Me either.
And he reminds me of Mike Wright. And I wanted to know if you guys like... If you could dispute that, I'm just kind of curious.
I can't.
No.
J.J. Watt is similar to me to Brooks Reed. I'd have no problem with J.J. Watt on my team. I just don't want him in the first round.
Yeah, because we don't know enough about him.
I don't know if it was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think Eric's right. He has limited experience at the position, which is a little concerning. And, Fred, that must really bother you. He hasn't played the position since sixth grade like. But I don't think he's an impact. He's not as big as Richard Seymour. You know, and that's who he's replacing. That's that spot, that five-technique defensive end, and maybe with the very same pick you traded from the Raiders for Richard Seymour. To me, Richard Seymour is elite, and J.J. Watt looks like guy.
Yeah, and if that kind of guy's available.
Wasn't Richard Seymour more of a pocket collapser? I feel like Brooks Reed is more of your, you know, he's going to rush the passer from the defensive line spot, and from my understanding of the Patriots' defense, they really don't have their defensive ends, you know, try to pass rush. They try to, you know, they try to help contain the quarterback and break down the offensive line. It's only on third downs where you see a player come in to try to get after the passer, a la Mike Wright.
Well, you can rush the passer, but the way you rush is by pushing the tackle into the passer.
Yeah.
You have collapse to maintain contact with the
controlled rush.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what Seymour does. I don't think J.J. Watt's going to do that at a high level in the NFL. I don't think you'll see J.J. Watt being franchised multiple times by any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to ask a few questions, guys. Thanks for answering.
All right,
no
Derek.
Problem. Good draft talk.
Study hard.
Or
Alex,
not.
What's that?
No.
Or not?
I'm not sure. So,
I'd be
so
studying.
Sure they do that in Arizona.
Well, as
I'd
hard as they do in Arizona.
Boobs.
Alex writes in. I have a few quick questions.
You want to see some junk,
Fred? I've been hearing some speculation lately regarding where Plaxico Burress may end up once he's released from prison. One of those teams mentioned were the Patriots. Although I'm skeptical about this idea, would you sign him to a one-year deal at a veteran minimum? assuming he's working out in prison like he has previously stated, and he checks out character-wise. The only downside would be if we cut him and rely on the same group of guys we did last year.
How old is he?
I don't know.
I have no interest.
I have no interest. I'm just curious, though. He said, assuming he checks out character-wise. So let's just say, for argument's sake, that someone checks him out character-wise and he checks out. What exactly would you have to do to not check out character-wise?
I know.
Ray Caruth.
Ray Caruth? Because, I mean, the guy's been in constant trouble throughout his career, culminating with imprisonment.
Yeah, he was a good guy while he was in prison.
Yeah. I mean,
good behavior.
Right.
But even
how do we even know that?
But even before he got in his real trouble to steal, Brooks Reed's, you know,
air
scheme,
quotes.
He was always a bad guy and always a bad teammate. Constantly a problem for Pittsburgh and the Giants.
Yep. Yeah.
So how could he check out character-wise?
No interest.
No interest. A very good player.
Other good players.
I'm not taking away his career. I'll tell you, the free agent wide receiver, Sidney Rice.
Yeah, I'm with you, Paul.
Why not?
I'm with you.
Go after a guy that is young, still in his prime.
Yep.
Has shown the ability to make plays with suspect quarterback play. I think he'd be a star with Brady.
That's the thing too. Brady got Moss at the end of his career, and he had a great year in 2007. But that, you know, pretty much it. It'd be great to have a great receiver in his prime getting passes from Brady. Yeah, that would, to me, be, and I think...
I don't think that we know of many things with Sidney Rice like we did with Moss.
No.
Moss played at an extremely high level.
I know, yes.
For 3 years, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, I'm not taking...
I'm not poo-pooing
him. I'm not either, even though I've been critical of Moss at times. I do think he took some plays and some games off.
In
his bad year. Again, sticking with the Brooks Reed air quotes. In his bad year, he was like the league leader in touchdown receptions.
I believe... I'll take it.
But I think that a guy like Sidney Rice could come here without the potential baggage that you dealt with Moss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Brady would have to be babysitting him at all times. Now, it's going to cost you some money because, a 50-year guy? You know, so he's in the prime. He's looking to cash in. And you're not going to get him for a veteran minimum like the emailer suggested we try to do.
No, he's a prime.
Plaxico Burress.
He's probably... Wouldn't you say, as far as free agent goes, he's the top wide receiver available?
I don't know the entire list, but
I got the list here. We'll
he would be very high on my list.
Louis in Illinois. Hey guys, I've been listening to you guys, and I gotta say, I love the show. I have four short points to make, three of which you guys haven't noticed. One, I do think we should trade up for Quinny. And I think that is what Belichick was thinking of when he traded Seymour. He thought he would get a top 5 or 10 pick.
That's what I was thinking of last August.
You got Hushmanzada on the list.
No thanks.
Yeah. For free agents.
Stiff.
You've got Holmes and Edwards from the Jets.
Yeah.
Two good players.
Rice is younger and better.
I take Rice right now.
Malcolm Floyd.
Intriguing.
Ooh, I like him.
Vincent Jackson.
I like Floyd better.
I like Floyd better than Jackson, too. But both intriguing players. Didn't one of them get franchised?
Jackson? Yeah,
Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I think that's pretty much it for the big names.
Sidney
Rice
is in a good position.
Yeah.
Two, this is still from Louis. You guys are forgetting our philosophy. We're building a team, not collecting talent.
Okay.
I guess that's geared at you, Andy.
That's fine.
I liked it better when we collected.
But I think Andy's point was
in rings.
Andy's point was they've kind of built the team. Now we can blend in one or two really high talented guys.
Last year's
draft could really take them over the top.
Was the backbone of a team type draft.
Yeah,
they had a very good draft. Even the last couple of years.
The last couple of years, I would say.
And now I think they need impact. I think they need impact players, and the biggest impact need is pass rusher.
So Louis, I think moving up. You know, getting rid of some picks, moving up, targeting a guy doesn't necessarily counter the philosophy of building a team.
Can you imagine how I'm going to go absolutely, to steal a phrase from Dale Arnold, icky baluki, if they pass on Robert, if PFW's right,
he was
and
available?
They pass on Robert Quinn at 17?
Oh, man.
You might resign, like Paul.
I might break something.
Yeah.
You know. I resign.
We're going to have to keep the window closed in the press box. You're going to jump out of it.
No, I would throw you out of it.
I want to live.
I could just see the other media. Was that Eric?
Like one of those Letterman skits where it's right. So clearly a fake body, like right. Just a bag tied to something, right. And throw it out the window.
An effigy.
Let's put a V-neck on it.
Is yeah. Eric? An Argyle. Was that Argyle, Eric?
Yeah, and I don't think trading up is necessarily an indication that you're running counter to your
right.
team-building philosophy. The Patriots have traded
They're
up.
Looking for the right guys. The
they
right
said
guy
it this morning. Yeah. Belichick's on record that he's not philosophically opposed to anything.
Right.
And just look at his track record. He took
a guard in the first round.
He significantly traded up several times. He traded up. I mean, to get Daniel Graham, he
it's
traded.
Not always a good story.
He traded about 10 spots, right? Eight or 10 spots.
Now he can get him back for nothing.
It's not trading into the top 10. Maybe if you want to say there is a difference to me between going from 32 to 21 as opposed to from 17 to 4.
So you really don't like my little theory that trading 17 and 28 to get to 6, you're not giving anything up because in a normal year. You wouldn't have it. It's like free money. It's like you won the lottery and you just spent some of it. You didn't lose anything.
But it seems like they've had that.
You got a scratch ticket. You won. You went to Foxwoods and lost.
But it seems like they've had the multiple picks for so long that that's what people have come to expect from this team is that they have the multiple picks.
Well, it's the old idea when you put the hand in the water and you pull out a bucket.
Let's stick with the lottery
analogy. We should talk about that in a minute.
If you won $1 million in the lottery and you spent it all in the first year, would you just sit there and say, well, I didn't really lose anything. I just spent all the money.
I enjoyed it, and I'm back to my normal life.
Right.
That's how you finished the first year in debt because I did something stupid, that's different. But if I'm just right back to collecting a paycheck, same old Andy, okay, I didn't lose anything.
No, but you're fighting and scrapping
a fun year.
And you're living paycheck to paycheck. That would be okay with you when you didn't have to do
sure.
that because
I had
you
a good
had $1 million.
Year. I had a good year.
Oh, I disagree wholeheartedly with that. I
Plus,
would be very upset.
I would be very
with
upset
myself. With myself.
You're not trading the whole draft. It's not a life-changing maneuver. It's one pick. You had an extra pick. You're trading it.
The other one who brought up the lottery analogy.
Yeah. Well, I'm changing analogies.
Let's see.
Can we bring up the water thing? Pose it to our listeners?
Well, after this email.
Okay, forget you then.
This goes along with
you.
Forget you.
The number two about building a team. I think we have all we want for the now and the future. Remember, we run a read and react defense, and as these players gain experience, they will read plays better, thus react faster.
Don't tell me that they don't want to get pressure on the quarterback.
Note the ages of Vrabel, Brewski, Willie, Rodney, Law, and Pfeiffer when we won Super Bowls 28-30. Lastly, I noticed that the 04 Super Bowl...
When do we win Super Bowl 28-30?
I don't know. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He says when we won Super Bowls, period, 28-30. That was their age.
Okay. What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know.
I just think that we really fight hard to find, hope that's not there.
No, but now it's to the point where they're just trying to recreate 03-04. Do everything we did that. So we have to have a safety who was once cut by his team because he tore his groin and everybody thought he was done and he'll be key to our defense. No, how about we just try to find the best players and try to win with the best players for this team? And maybe that's Robert Quinn.
Lastly, I noticed
how old was Richard Seymour on those teams?
Young.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
How old is Tom Brady?
I mean, you either have talent.
Young and aging. I mean, that's my point.
It was a great blend.
Listen,
that's why they won.
The backbone of the team
and now you
was certainly included the guys that the emailer just mentioned. The Vrabels, the McGinnists, Ty Law and stuff like that. But not all of the backbone of that team was old and experienced.
Right.
Some of the most important players were young draft picks. And if you're going to tell me that these guys are going to turn out to be those guys? Okay, maybe they will. Maybe Devin McCourty is Ty Law. Maybe he is. Mm. He certainly was
Ty
Law-esque as a rookie.
Yeah.
Right?
So he's going to have a dip where he gets fat and happy and then he comes back later.
I don't necessarily, I don't want to fight you. I'm a Ty Law guy. I'll come across the table. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I think Ty Law was a pretty good player,
but
consistently.
The issue is you have the old leaders now that are good players, but their names are going to be Vince Wilfork and Tom Brady and maybe Logan Mankins, and, guys that are in the middle to latter part of their careers. Mm-hmm. You need to re-inject. But I don't get the, let's try to do it exactly the same way we did. Let's just try to put the best team together we can.
Just as an example, Tully Bantakane is an experienced guy at this point now. Does anybody envision him being Willie McGinnis or Mike Vrabel? I mean, has anybody seen the versatility in his game to do those kinds of things?
No.
Roman Pfeiffer? No. I mean, he's not a stiff. It's not like he doesn't belong on the
field.
And
I'll bet you that Belichick would have loved to have had Willie McGinnis as a younger player and do what he did as an older, you know.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Corey, we got to get a running back who just has a breakout year. I'm sure he would have had Corey Dillon the whole time. You're right. It did. Things just worked out a certain way, and it was great. It all came together nicely. You got a couple Super Bowls out of it. But now you just got to wipe the slate clean and see how to do it different.
You can't force a philosophy. You have to be flexible.
And you know where we've learned that?
Bill Belichick.
New York, Cleveland, Denver, Cleveland, Notre Dame. How about Bill Belichick just does what he thinks will work?
Right.
Cleveland.
Lastly, I noticed
listening coaches that left and failed elsewhere.
Yeah, that tried to emulate what they do here.
You did say New York twice. I was wondering
if there was two different guys. That's why I was.
I don't know.
Because I was like, Mangini, McDaniels.
Cleveland was supposed to be twice. Did I say Cleveland twice? Because Mangini
said,
was in Cleveland.
I think you said New York
twice. I meant
twice.
Cleveland Mangini twice because Mangini and Cornell both failed.
No. I get your point.
No, the point. Point is valid.
Lastly, I noticed that in the 2004 Super Bowl when the Eagles blitzed and got home all day, Patriots began doing screens frequently. Why haven't they done that constantly since 2007? Like versus the Jets, Steelers, Ravens. I know you will say that they did do a screen versus the Jets when Brady got picked, but that was a double end around, which is meant to be a long pass, like the first play of Super Bowl 42, not a screen.
That was not meant to be a long pass. They were at the 20-yard line, 28-yard line, something like that. That wasn't meant to be a long pass. That was a screen.
It looked like it, you know. Was.
It was definitely the double end around.
Yeah,
he's
it was
right
that
about that.
Slow developing screen
that they run all the time.
Yep.
I think they still screen.
But I also don't think they've been blitzed to death since 2007. Do you?
No. Sean Ellis, by the way, wasn't blitzing. He was just bitch slapping Dan Conley.
As a matter of fact,
they didn't put a whole lot of fast pressure on in that game.
The Giants were sending their defensive line. If those guys don't rush on that play, what are they doing? That's what defensive linemen do when they're on a defense. They try to get to the quarterback. They're not dropping into coverage every play.
As a matter of fact, I mean, I can recall us saying that teams should blitz more. Because
I personally think that. I think teams get too conservative out of respect for Brady, and they do the same thing, I think,
and
with
they
Manning.
They get burned anyway.
Yeah. They do the same thing with Manning and some of the other great quarterbacks. I think if you're going to get beat.
If you might as well take a chance.
If you sit back and try to play coverage against him consistently. Now, listen. The Jets did it on that playoff game, and it worked for them. I think if they had played 3 weeks later with a very similar kind of game plan, I think Brady would have had the answers.
Or if Brady had just run more.
Right. If he had, how many yards? 11? What was the magic number? 11?
11. 17.
17. I think you're right. 17.
14.
He hasn't run for 17 yards combined since he tore his ACL, but he was going to do it in the playoffs.
You got to adjust. Men of PFW, says Giovanni. The NFL.com headlines as of yesterday were highlighting the Supreme Court appeal that some a-hole of a Jets fan filed against the Patriots for Spygate. You heard about this, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Listen, if your team sucks and has experience...
Clarence Thomas had no comment.
If your team sucks and has experienced years of humiliation by the division bully, blame is on Herm Edwards in his oversized sweaters, or Eric Mangini in his gay face, not the pure genius that is Belichick.
Eric Mangini has a gay face?
Oh, by the way, I saw him this weekend.
Mangini?
Speaking of gay faces, he was at that conference I was at on Saturday.
Did he speak?
As a speaker?
He was on one of the panels, but I wasn't at that one. He lost a lot of weight.
Did
though.
It say unimpeded?
Really,
he lost a lot.
Really
he lost it last season.
Yeah,
he lost it on the sideline. You didn't notice that?
But did it say unemployed next to his name?
No, but I wanted to say hello, but he was like really involved in a discussion with the guys from StatSync, you know, that company. They have these new tools for posting your draft board. Like, it's all, you know, web-based and all this stuff. So you can, like, you can recreate your draft board with all the little symbols that you use to, you know, denote character issues or whatever. And it's all online now and all this stuff. So he was really, like, involved in talking about that.
Yeah, he's going to be out of work, huh?
Yeah. Now he's with
unless
that
he takes that UFL,
UFL job. Right. The Hartford Colonels.
Hartford Colonials. Yeah, I don't know if they have.
Is it Colonials or Colonels?
Colonials.
I think it's Colonials.
Colonials?
Yeah. Colonies.
Yeah.
Colonials.
Yeah.
Did he have any interaction with anybody in the organization?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Fred wanted to, but he was talking to StatSync.
I just know there were members of the organization at that conference that Fred was at, and I found it interesting. Would have found it interesting had there been any interaction.
Did you see anybody else?
You mean big names? I mean, Stephen Jones.
If I've never heard of the person, I don't care.
No, Stephen Jones of the Cowboys was there, but no other coaches that I saw.
So he was the lone NFL representative of a coach? He was the only coach there?
The Cuban was there, right?
Mark Cuban was there.
No, I know those big guys, but were there more people in those little breakout sessions you were talking about than the big names? Or
not that I know of.
You said this was a big conference. There was like three people there that were famous.
Well, if you're a business student, it was a big conference. 1,500 people there. Malcolm Gladwell.
Who the hell's that?
He's the author of Blink and The Tipping Point and Outliers.
I'm starting to find out what this conference was all about.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah,
it was
Geek Central. Oh, absolutely. And proud of it. I was sitting next to a kid during the panel. He's writing code. It's like, what are you doing? You know. Anyway. Giovanni says...
So maybe he's looking for a job.
He might be.
Maybe he feels like he can branch into some offshoot industry from the NFL with his... He was an economics guy? Smart guy.
Something
smart
like that.
Guy. So maybe he feels
Manganese?
Like with his NFL experience and, you know, business type, maybe he can...
Maybe.
Was he good on ESPN? Anybody watch
him? Didn't
see him. He did Jets Week, right? Patriots Jets
Week?
Yeah,
I remember seeing a little bit. He was okay.
But he didn't
knock
their socks off so that he's going to be their NFL analyst moving forward?
No.
He's got to be better than Herm Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you'd be better than Herm Edwards.
There are times that I think he's decent.
There's the face I was looking for.
But I didn't think he was great, Herm.
Anyway, an interesting article.
He brings passion, but not a lot of information.
Yeah, Rob Gronkowski brings passion. I wouldn't put him on ESPN.
Anyway, an interesting article I read about possibly never seeing the likes of Ray Lewis or LaDainian Tomlinson if the season goes into a blockout. They had great careers, and I would hate to see Ray go, but get that crybaby loser out of here. And I
hate to see him go, and then you rip him.
And I agree with Andy. All the mock drafts I've seen don't agree on Robert Quinn. I've seen him on Football Future, a public forum, in the third round. I bet Andy hopes that comes true. Can you imagine us getting Quinn at 33? That would be insane.
No, can
that
you imagine me having to go home after the first day of the draft?
Right.
And Quinn has been passed over.
Twice.
Twice by us. But you know,
we'd have another Mendenhall situation.
Well, no, that was only 23 or 5 or somewhere in there.
Yeah, but every time somebody picked, you were yelling his name.
I was right.
Right. That's what would happen with Quinn.
And I was right, though. You leave out the part that I was right. Oh, the guy's a very good running back in the National Football League that carried his team to the Super Bowl this year.
Wait a minute. Let's explore this a little bit.
He then fumbled in the biggest game.
You've declared yourself right on that one based on...
The fact that he carried his team to the Super Bowl this year.
The 1,500 yards he has in his career?
Who?
Ish.
Mendenhall?
Yeah.
No, 2,500. I mean, he's back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons.
Oh, he's 3 years in?
Yeah, he got injured the first year. He got 2,000-yard season.
So 2,200 yards?
The second of which he led his team to the Super Bowl because his quarterback had to get suspended for the first 4 weeks.
Were you not wrong about Darren McFadden, who you declared would have,
5,632 yards?
No, it wasn't that many. It wasn't that high.
It was a 3,000.
Oh, what was it, 3?
There's no way it was. 5,000 is solid. That's a solid
3,500.
3,021 or something.
Something like that. Yeah. 3,014.
Has he passed it yet?
No, but your boy hasn't either.
No, but my boy has done his job. He led his team. He carried his team to the Super Bowl.
Are you saying that?
Who's the franchise running back in Oakland?
McFadden's been.
Who's the franchise running back in Oakland?
McFadden.
No,
absolutely.
No, Michael Bush.
You think Michael Bush is
better
than him?
They just tendered him at first and third. He's their guy.
The other guy's under contract, idiot. They didn't have to tender
him. Don't try to cloud this with details. Move on.
Some of the more bizarre mock drafts I've seen have the Patriots taking LeSure, Muhammad Wilkerson from Temple, and Nate Solder from Colorado in the first round.
A lot of people down on that Solder guy.
I've read a lot of that stuff. Yeah. Why? What's the deal with him?
First of all, he's a skinny twig who's a tight end.
Twig can't solder the bird.
Skinny twig. Yeah.
What do you think
he
called?
He threw up...
Sinewy, I thought you said.
21 reps in
the
bench. People were getting on him about that because there were running backs who were putting up a lot higher
Jordan
numbers.
Jordan Todman, my undersized little teeny running back out of UConn, had four more reps.
He did 25.
Well, I was just wondering if he gave anybody dirty looks during that press conference.
He was very nice.
He's got long hair. He's got,
God forbid,
that white complexion with just the little rosy rouge on his cheeks, the boyish good looks, all that.
She likes him too?
He looks like he'd get his ass whooped.
You want to get a room with him?
No, I want to get him not on my left tackle spot because I think he'd get my quarterback killed.
No, but if you drafted him here,
arms doesn't mean you.
No, if you drafted him here, he'd be your right tackle because Vollmer would move over to left.
I've read a lot of
assuming Luke Warm. Light doesn't come back.
Lukewarm reports about him, definitely.
Comportment?
I was asking about his comportment because we all know
he's inexperienced at tackle. He's one of those guys. He's only played tackle for 2.5 years.
He was a tight end.
Is that good? Is he going to be great or? Is he raw and get your quarterback killed?
Another thing I was hearing about, a lot of the NFL Network stuff, combine-related some of the analysis, they were talking a lot about the tackles now, and they don't look at the right and left tackle as much of a difference as they used to, because so many teams now have, you know, the Mathis and Freeney situation where your right tackle's got to be just as quick and athletic in a box as the left tackle does now. It used to be you had that big greater of a right tackle and the quicker, maybe more athletic left tackle, but Mayock was saying how teams aren't looking at it that way as much anymore.
And who would know better than him?
Well, just ask him.
Let's hurry up and organize.
Pat Devlin, by the way, I saw a note. Pat Devlin sat down in my home, Mike Mayock speaking, watch film with me. So just keep that in mind when you hear any Mayock-Pat Devlin discussion.
Let's hurry up and organize the PFW official mock draft. If you guys really do it, count me in. Doing it over email would be fun. You could assign a listener to each of the 32 teams and give each listener 3 to 5 minutes to make a selection by email or phone. That would be something. Jets are garbage, Annie is awesome, and Ken Walter rules.
Yeah, best email ever. I thought Kevin already agreed he was going to set that up via either email or Twitter.
We're going to get that going.
You just see the look he gave, shaking his head.
I thought your full-time focus was on PFW now.
His full-time focus is obviously iTunes, because that's what he's doing.
It's also on the Revs.
That doesn't take long.
You're right. Says the guy who doesn't have to watch every single game from last year.
Well, first of all, you have 90 minutes of downtime every time there's a Revs game to do work. Because nothing's going to happen. Don't worry. It's boring.
Okay. He's right about that.
Right?
But that's not even a joke.
Now, if you can stay awake, I admit that would be your struggle during the game, to stay awake and do the work.
Well, it's tough to watch 36 games.
Except when Mansali has the ball.
Mansali,
anytime
our boy.
He touches it.
Scott writes in, here is how I see getting three viable starters at 17, 28, and 33, or getting two playmakers. Scenario one, at number 17, Alden Smith, number 28, Muhammad Wilkerson, in 33, Derek Sherrod.
Sherrod.
Yes. Is that how he's pronouncing it?
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's how he's pronouncing it.
Is that correct? Should Sherrod. He be pronouncing it that
yes.
way?
Eric-like. Okay.
That way you address all three needs. Or scenario two,
yes.
package 33 and 28. That gets you to 11, and you have a shot at Quinn or Cameron Jordan, and pick up J.J. Watt with 17.
Ugh.
And find a tackle project end of the second or at 74.
If you come away with Cameron Jordan and J.J. Watt, I'll vomit.
Jordan could potentially be an outside linebacker, and both he and Watt can do some third down passes.
Enough with the J.J. Watt talk, please.
I like J.J. Watt.
As a first-round pick. Enough with that.
I just don't think that they have a huge need for that position. I know that a lot of people disagree with us. I just don't think that... the whole five.
Are you freaking kidding
game.
Me?
That's
if we
Andy
left the draft
up in his mouth
with Cameron Jordan and J.J. Watt, and we traded up to get Cameron Jordan, so we took all our 33 picks, 3 and 33, and got nothing. Didn't address the pass rush situation at all.
Okay. Let's see. Sarah in Iowa, right?
Hey, girl.
In,
how you doing?
Do we have to, like, every time a female writes the show, act like an
I like women.
Yes.
I'm passionate
just
about
like
women.
Just like you get all excited every time a man writes.
Sarah is a hot first name.
Am I wrong?
Women writing into this show is not an unusual thing. We have plenty of
them. No, and most of them are very attractive.
And males writing in isn't unusual either, but you got all excited because you're into junk. What are you going to do?
I like breasts. Sarah sounds like she has nice breasts.
How can you tell that from her name?
Sarah is a hot name.
Yeah, now you're going to find out she's 14 and you're really going to be upset.
Speed.
Hey, these terrible. Days, with the hormones in the chicken, 14... big breasts.
What the hell is he talking about?
You haven't noticed young girls developing faster and larger?
No, I haven't.
It's
apparently
common.
You have.
Well, I've actually discussed it with a number of school
beach,
teachers
so.
Who
Speaking
agree
about
with
background
me.
Checks.
Female school
teachers
who agree with me and have said it's ridiculous.
Dick
that these girls develop bigger and larger.
They said that when we were
earlier.
Kids. Too.
Beaver Stadium. No,
there were not a lot
Beaver
of big
Stadium.
Boobs in my high school.
There was always,
and I'm talking high school, never mind.
There was always
elementary.
Like the one girl in your class that developed really fast, but not every. It was the exception. Now
they all
the
have
the other way around.
And some of it
that
may be
one,
wrong.
Usually that one that developed really fast didn't turn out all that well.
No. Usually she had to have surgery to get a breast reduction because there was they were too big. It's not.
Well,
natural.
I don't know
she
about
was
that
eating
far.
Too much chicken.
Yes. Yeah, more so what Paul said.
I think Kevin's referring to getting around, right?
I wasn't referring to that.
No?
No.
Okay. Anyway, Sarah says, after a couple years off, I'm thinking about supporting you guys and subscribing to PFW again. I'm especially interested in the online version of the paper. How does that work? being from Iowa, I'm guessing I clicked to download the file on Wednesday, and it finishes downloading on Sunday during the post-game press conference. Is that about right? Seriously, I love the
show. You're not hot anymore, Sarah. Screw you.
No, I mean, if you are a subscriber, you have it's available online as soon as it's printed, and you can download a PDF and put it on your Kindle or however you like to read your online publications.
Your iPad.
Yep.
Your Zoom. What are the others?
So,
I saw Billy Costa selling one last night on his TV show, the Diner. It's one of the sponsors, and he was showing how cool it is.
Which one?
I don't know.
Okay.
Motorola?
That's the Zoom.
Nope.
The Playbook? HP Playbook?
Galaxy?
Oh, that's the Samsung Galaxy.
Step inside the Playbook?
Galaxy. He was selling the Galaxy. No, not good?
Nah.
Why?
The Zoom and the iPad are much better.
Who's going to win? Only one of these ever wins.
Not necessarily. I mean, would you say that with laptops?
No, but it's different.
I think there's room. I think there's room for more than one.
I mean, there'll be a winner. One will sell more,
right.
But
the, I mean, like,
you know,
iPod
like
clearly
Pepsi.
Won. There were all those other MP3 players. You can still buy them, but iPod won.
See, here's the thing. When you look at
the
laptops,
first.
The uniting factor of, that made it possible for developers to do great things was Microsoft. Their operating system made it easy for developers to come out with stuff. That's the problem with, you know, Android versus Apple. You know, developers have to develop two of everything. And then now HP has Palm. So now that's a third platform.
But
that's the problem.
But if developers just decide, I'm only developing for X, that one's going to win.
Well, for a while, that's why Microsoft became one of the biggest countries in the world, is because developers just
right.
did
and
that.
I think
Apple,
that's going to happen with
the
Steve
from the union.
They're not going to continue to make five different versions. They'll pick one, maybe two, and those two will win, and all the other things are going to go away because people can't get content for them.
Well,
it's like the HD DVD versus Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Blu-ray won.
But
for a while, there things were doing both, and they stopped. Now it's just Blu-ray. Blu-ray
right.
won.
They won. In that case, they did.
Somebody
win.
Will win
yeah.
this, too.
Yeah.
There's a winner, there's a loser.
Well, I think
I just think that the loser isn't necessarily going to be worried about where their next paycheck is coming from. There will be a winner, you're right. One of them
know.
Will sell more than the other.
No, they'll still do. I mean, like I
but
said,
I don't
the
think,
MP3
I don't
players,
think
there
the
were
loser
still those
be
others
out.
That sold, and you buy them at Walmart. There's a kind of a lower-level MP3
right.
world.
Right. Right.
But iPod was it. One of these will be it. Zoom or Galaxy, apparently not because you say it sucks, but iPad 2, one of these will be it.
Okay,
I'm banking on Galaxy after Fritz.
I'm going to go read CNBC. Galaxy taking the world by storm.
It's not winning. Trust me.
You have them
winning.
All. You said already.
I'm getting them all. I'm now, getting four of them.
Are you going to disperse them
Why
to us to use
for
to
experimentation?
Test them out? Are you going to disperse them to us to use
Maybe.
To test?
So how are you going to do that?
I want the iPad.
Maybe.
Oh no, I want the Zoom. Can I have the Zoom to
no,
test?
I don't want
have
any
anything.
Of them.
Why? You know I'm a good tester.
I
tested your Patriots.com.
I have a little surprise in store for you guys, but I don't want to tell you yet.
A good surprise?
Yeah.
So just be one of those
layoffs.
Yeah. I came into my office at 4 o'clock on Friday. Surprise.
Yeah, I got to teach you a little something. Calling your entire department.
I was scared for you.
Oh, well, that was not a good time wise. Doing things Friday afternoon late is not good.
It's good news.
Yes, but leading into it, you feel like bad news.
So because
everybody assumes bad news comes late Friday afternoon.
So
what?
I allayed everyone's fears.
I needed new underwear.
Russell.
And nothing to do with the news. But...
People don't have any idea what we're talking about. Russell.
Because you shook me off when I started to talk.
Russell.
I was about 8 mil lace deep in Richmond by that time.
Yeah, and Northeastern was well on its way to lose.
Eight?
Well, Russell in Colorado Springs, Colorado. The CBA situation is looking at least a little bit better. But if the worst was to happen and a lockout or strike were to hit the NFL for an entire year, who would be players that would be potentially lost to the Patriots due to the retirement / trades in a year when no one plays?
Falk. Certainly.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about Ray Lewis on NFL.com and LaDainian Tomlinson as guys who we might have seen the last of them if there's not another season.
Kevin Falk.
Yeah, that's one.
Gerard Warren, I mean, a little older.
But don't you think the mindset of these guys is the fact that I haven't played, I can still now play another year?
Not necessarily, because
no?
coming
body,
off an ACL.
Yeah, your
not,
body, when you're, when you know, a year at this age, a year's difference can be a lot
for a 30-something running back coming off an
ACL. But you don't know that until you get to camp, and then you make a decision.
Or like Bruschi, for instance. That's a good example. He came back, he went to camp for a few days, a few weeks, and realized he couldn't do it anymore, and then he...
Right. You know. But, I mean, you look at Falk, he, at best, he's going to be himself late next season, right, based on everything we hear and the Welker and everybody. So if that starts late and it just...
I think he's... I still think he's done no matter what.
You're a negative person. On Wednesday, I'll ask you.
That's tomorrow.
He seems to be portraying that.
That he's...
Yeah.
I think that's the right thing to do.
The last couple of times...
I know when it's time.
I think he wants to play.
But I think he knows his body is telling him.
I just think he feels like he's probably not going to get the opportunity. And
that'd be a shame.
I don't think he wants to go anywhere.
Right. So
I don't think he wants
He wants to come. He wants to stay here.
Either play here or not play at all.
He probably has as much to do with Woodhead as anything else.
Exactly. He saw that what the future is going to be like without him, and they realize, well, we already have the future. So
playoff loss.
Because I don't have much.
Nothing to do with him.
I mean, I have a pretty fair amount of confidence that he could come back to play at a high enough level that he could be a serviceable third down back.
I do too.
But
that's why I would bring him back. I'm not sold on just going to the season with Danny Woodhead and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis as my
Yeah, I'd like to see them compared in camp. I'd like to see them head to head in camp.
I'd like to just see him there.
Just to see.
You've carried five running backs. Carry five again.
Because I think we were just so relieved that Woodhead could do what he did. But I'd like to see them head to head and see.
I think the fact that the team rewarded Woodhead so early with an extension, I think tells you.
Well, you want to keep hold of him. It's not like they broke the bank for him.
Right. They gave him nothing. Right.
No, but they wanted to have him here.
Sure.
That's at least a symbolic gesture that they want him here for more than just the short term.
Brooklyn Matt says, "Hey Andy, you've never heard of the film American Beauty? It's ranked on IMDb."
I didn't say I've never heard of it. You
best
DB.
Movie of all time,
take
you
away the
soul.
I am you DB. I've never seen it.
And yeah, there's a famous.
And you didn't like it until someone told you you were supposed to like it.
Pompous
douche.
But it's not one of those movies. It's a regular movie. It's a good movie.
But he doesn't listen. I never said I'd never heard of it. I said I'd never seen it.
Fred's description of it is dead on. It's a dark movie.
Screw you, bitch.
There's nothing happy about that.
It's
movie.
It's going to make you feel like a little bit better about yourself that you're not a creep of the highest order. But it's a good movie.
I turned on EEI for 2 minutes yesterday, and what do I hear? I hear Glenn Ordway talking to somebody. Would this feel better? What about this idea? We lower the preseason ticket prices, raise the regulars. And
I heard that, and I was thinking to myself, this is it. That's the final straw. There's no question in my mind they listen to us.
Stole it.
And they steal everything. Where do you come up with
sinking ship?
Cockamamie ideas like
that,
other
than
PFW
yesterday.
In progress.
Cockamamie.
There's a famous nudity scene in American Beauty, something to do with Kevin Spacey lusting over a teen girl floating on the ceiling immersed in rose petals. Andy, she, like the rest of the film, would fly right over your head.
Suck it.
Tell you what, why don't you give up doing the show for Lent?
It's not a really deep movie.
I can do that if you want me
to. Give up your pickup truck while you're at it. And bonjour, Eric. I'm sorry if the average Joe Tards think that's a slight. Well, tally-ho and champagne wishes.
Who is this?
Do you understand the Ted
Brooklyn
Nation
Matt?
Rule on cockamamie trades?
Brooklyn I didn't know Matt. The douche could type that long.
Brooklyn Matt worked for Donald Trump. I mean...
No, he didn't.
As a courier.
No, Sam is not a man or a woman or whatever he claims to be. They all just make up these lives. They're losers on the internet.
Wow, now he's disparaging
our listeners. Now he's Charlie Sheen over here.
Winning!
I'm not really winning.
I think I have one of the...
Getting by.
Squeaking by.
I think I have one of the UK Pats fans posing as a woman stalking me on Twitter.
What? Which one? It's always going to be about him, you know.
No.
I was happy that he has a stalker.
It's the Patriots
Facebook page brought to you by Kevin. Remember?
No, you were talking about people who kind of like make up, you know, Kevin. An existence.
Yes.
To kind of rattle us.
Right.
Or get at us.
Or to toy with us.
Just bringing that up.
Or to be on the show with us earlier in this decade.
Okay.
Silence.
Blake writes
Fred was
in.
Reading.
He gets so mad, but then he never has an email ready.
Okay.
I'm not mad.
He starts clicking around.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. What happened there?
You know what?
Going through my Fred, losing the emails. Oh, my computer.
I clicked on something.
What is this now?
No, let's hear more, Eric. I'm sure you have a whole routine for stand-up. You know,
let's hear it.
Based on me. Let's hear it. Come on.
You forget he failed in that
career
as well.
I appreciate good...
but it's Eric.
Wow.
Won't be good.
I do. I like a good, you know.
Go ahead, Eric. We've reached that point in the show. What was that? What did we used to call that when we would ask Eric something or?
Getting to know Eric?
The fact. Fact of the day with Eric.
Fact of the day.
Give us a little stand-up. Come on. You're standing up?
No. Yeah, I am standing up, actually. So that's
so give us a little.
He's trying.
No, we
to...
did that before.
I don't think
that.
We ever did.
We did.
Did it not go well?
No, because you chose not to laugh.
No. You know me. I laugh.
Well, no, that was at the time. That was at the time when we weren't really getting along.
We were gonna do it.
That's changed.
We had a sponsor. And yes. But the problem is the sponsor was Stayfree, and Eric said, I'm not doing it if that's the sponsor.
You told the joke and I didn't laugh?
That's how I remember it, yeah.
Do you remember, Paul?
No.
He told a joke?
I don't.
Did Paul laugh? Because he's your little bosom buddy, 10 a.m. Drinking buddy.
What is he talking about?
I'm his 10 a.m. drinking buddy, but not his combine buddy.
Speaking of the combine... Do you know our expense reports have a suggested amount for breakfast, lunch, and dinner on them?
The online version.
I didn't know that.
Not the one that Andy and I submit to you.
Yeah.
Are you over or under that suggestion?
Over.
Well, let's just leave
over.
It at this, Freddie.
I'm not surprised.
Over.
The three meals combined, Fred, are less than our per diem.
Really?
On the road, yes.
Three meals combined are less than the per diem we get.
Less than, so what do we get, $42?
$45.
It's less than that for the three meals. And by the way, we get free breakfast and we don't eat lunch. We only do dinner. But just so you know, at whatever point someone sends me back a check that's only a portion of the expenses I paid at the combine, you'll have to find somebody else to cover the combine. Because we work 12 hours a day down there, and if we can't go out and have dinner...
Eric will be looking for a new combine buddy.
Yes, Eric will be looking for a new combine buddy.
Has anyone ever said anything to you?
No.
So what are you worried about?
Preemptive rant.
It was just kind of funny.
Because I never knew about it before. Eric brought it to my attention because someone else brought it to his attention. Apparently, the way everybody gets around it is by just using old expense reports that don't have that on there. Well, you know, it's funny, they've added that, but the 40 cents a mile is still 40 cents a mile. That hasn't gone up, despite the fact that gas has tripled in the last 3 years.
It used to be 27 cents.
Well, now it's not. It should be higher than 40 cents now.
Maybe.
This rate. It's going to be $10 a gallon soon. Well, I'm done. Go ahead.
It's going to be $5 over the summer, right?
No, because the president's tapping into the
reserves.
Yeah,
he also listened to our show. My bitching about why aren't we tapping into reserves? He's going to tap into reserves. Did you know that reportedly? No, this is... I want to know if you've heard this. I have a source that told me, under the radar, 7 assassination attempts have been thwarted.
I wouldn't be surprised with that for any
Obama.
President.
Obama's not president.
Yeah. I find that interesting. That's a lot.
What's your source?
Well, how do you know it's
a
lot?
I got a good source.
How do you know it's a lot, though? How do you know what to compare it to? How do you know Bush didn't have, 25 at this stage in his...
Well, Fred himself was responsible for 22 of those.
I don't think you're supposed to joke about that stuff. Secret Service, line one. We only have one line.
So. Blake's from Southern Cal with the Tempur-Pedic slippers. Blake has Tempur-Pedic slippers.
Did you just check in? We had that conversation 8 months ago.
I appreciate you guys still being on twice a week to keep me afloat this offseason after another clunker in the playoffs. Wanted to ask you about your thoughts on Akeem Ayers, UCLA linebacker. I watched all of the Bruins game this season, and Ayers is really dynamic. I think he fits our system well and is perfect for Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, since he is so versatile and can do a lot here, and I know he even said that himself at the combine.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering where you think he'll go in the draft and if you think we should go after him.
Probably lower first half of the first round.
That's where the Patriots' sweet spot is.
Yeah.
I don't think he's right that he's a classic Patriot with his versatility. I'm not looking for versatility. I'm looking for one thing and one thing only.
Get to
the quarterback. Well, even more than that, a playmaker that planks plays getting to the quarterback. That's why the Ryan Kerrigan thing has kind of grown on me. If he can really do that, get me 25 sacks in a 2-year span with some ridiculous 15 forced fumbles.
Doesn't matter how he gets it.
I don't care how he does it. Whatever. If he can do that at the NFL level, that's what I want. I'm not looking to set the edge. I'm not looking to playing 2 feet out in space, Paul Perillo.
Right. Dropping into pass coverage and
get to the quarterback, disrupt the quarterback, make everybody else's job a little easier.
Scott in Tucson, if you do a listener mock draft show hosted by draft experts Andy and Paul, Eric, cue Andy and Paul's laugh. Okay, good. And no, screw you, Eric. I think exchange.
it's Lent. He's, that's the old Eric.
It's not Lent yet.
No, but
I'm
a true man
out.
Starts early. It's for himself. It's not for a date.
Screw you, bitch.
Yeah, that's Eric, by the way. That's
same guy.
That's the loving Catholic Eric in there.
Was that
love
me?
Thy neighbor.
Play that again.
Oh, it's you.
What was that from?
It's from you yelling.
Screw you, bitch.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah, I remember that.
That was at Eleanor.
Not even Eric knew he had balls.
Screw you, bitch.
I think exchanging listeners' phone numbers, having listeners perform trades prior to the draft would be a bad idea. Sorry, Fred. I do believe you should have listeners more than one way to chime in, such as email and Facebook. Just make sure listeners are following who has been picked. Otherwise, you'll have a five-hour show on your hands.
Right. Well, that's – didn't we mention doing it live on your Do It Live thing?
Cover it live? Maybe.
Cover it live.
Did he say it was a bad idea for trades? Is that what he just said?
No, no. He said it would be a bad idea if we did it by the phone.
Because I was just envisioning someone answers their phone.
It's Derek from PFW in Progress. I want to talk about a possible trade. I have the seventh selection.
And the guy on the other end is like,
who is this?
I'm in a meeting right now.
Or worse yet, he starts talking and his wife is there and is like, what are you doing, you loser? Get out.
Why are you calling someone from the Philippines?
Well, right. What if we get...
What is this?
But there is something to that, though. What if, like, you know, we selected the people to do it and... Of those people, they all exchanged email addresses. So all this stuff could be going on in the background. We don't have to talk about it on the show.
Hey,
but when it comes to that person's time,
we
he
can
says,
drive
look,
them.
I've done a trade with so-and-so.
We can drive them to pfwinprogress.com. Our good friend James in the UK.
Yeah, get some traffic there.
Get some traffic over
get
to the
hits.
Site. Set up an account as a forum person.
We have
but
to
the
pick
problem
names.
Is they have to be able to communicate privately in order to have the trades be effective. They can't. Everyone can't know that I'm doing a trade with you before it happens.
You this know? Isn't the real NFL.
This is, I know. This is. We can have transparency in our mock draft here.
Now, I'm just worried that it'll morph into everybody's a Patriots fan, so they're going to be trying to rig the trades and everything.
I think you take the trades
People
out
are
of
taking
it.
Fifth round picks of right. the first pick in the draft.
So no trades?
Yeah, the Jets traded their first round pick for a seventh rounder in 2020.
No, but you're trying
Why
to
wouldn't
do,
they do that.
You're trying to do what's best for the team you're picking for. It's okay. not like
yes.
you know.
I don't really care what they do because I'll be entertained no matter what they do. It'll entertain me somehow. I guarantee it, and that's all it's about because it's not worth the paper it's
right.
written on.
Well, here's what we should do. I have. I'm trying to think now because we pretty much know who the top 50 emailers are. We can put all their names in a hat and pull out 32 of them.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Kevin's
going to tell
mic.
You how it's done. He's going to check
right,
in here.
All right, what do you got, Kevin?
Well, Kevin,
what,
no Kevin's mock draft.
No, I was just getting ready for the personal attack. That's why I was getting the headphones
You weren't
going to
get an attack until you put your headset on.
No,
you were ignoring us nicely for the last hour and a half.
I'm down for trying to organize. It's just, how do we know?
trying to organize. It wasn't my fault.
Well,
it didn't
no, how
work,
do you,
Fred.
How do,
what?
Well, you have to come up with some sort of, are we going to do it like... We have to find the people who are available at that time.
Right. So once you pick them, then you communicate with them. Can you be available between...
We're doing this live?
12 and 2, yeah.
Yeah, that's the difficulty of it.
That's the whole idea is you do it live. We'll do it live!
We'll do it live.
Do it live!
I'm not going to lie. I don't have a lot of interest in this.
Really, Paul?
No.
Pause.
Paul's not a man of the people.
Freddie, I
did a very, very special edition, and we did it on a Wednesday.
I'm not
That'd be cool.
We still have to fill the time in between each pick.
No, we could do it on Wednesday.
What do we do when this is going on?
Exactly. We would still have to fill the time in between.
Well, there's not a lot of time.
No. Huh?
I mean, each pick is going to take a couple minutes. So 32 picks times 2 is 64.
So they would email their pick in.
You're going to eat up a big chunk of a show.
Right.
So what so we could do.
What do we do when this is going on is my point.
Talk about the pick that was made.
You eat.
Yeah, and
that's what you normally do.
And talk about the possible prospects.
Hold your arms and rest them on your belly like you're doing right now.
Just like we do on regular draft day.
Yeah.
I mean, you could
And
do
I'll
it.
Say, I really didn't think Quinn was going to slip this one.
But you could do it, Fred, in a
on
way
the regular
that
draft
if,
day?
If the listener didn't
They're
get
really
their pick
picks!
In time, you could just do an auto pick for them, like next on our big board,
right.
our PFW big board.
Get in touch.
If they don't get the pick in time, it's on to the next one.
Right. See, I thought it was just going to happen over a certain period of time, and then we would talk about it. We'd read it and kind of see how it unfolded. Because what if the guy in Philippines can't check in?
Well, he has to commit to doing it.
That's why we should get
it. Sounding more like a job for these people and not something.
They're
going
to know that it's they're doing it
they're
a week before
clock.
This happens.
I can hear the guys now. Leave it to Fred Kirsch to take all the fun out of
right.
a mock draft.
All right. 508-543-7482 is the web. The ace ticket hotline. And Anthony in Naples is on it. Hey, Anthony.
What's going on, guys?
Not too much. How you doing?
Can I be a little bit of the voice of reasoning about this mock draft thing?
Okay, go.
No. Blow them up.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I'm not going to agree with it, to be honest with you. Unless you're actually participating in the mock draft, you're the only one that cares. Everybody else is not really going to care what a listener has to say across the world.
That's a good point.
To be honest with you.
I have to agree with Anthony.
Yeah, your blanket wet because you dropped it in a pool? Jeez, you're no fun.
It makes a good point.
It's not a matter of fun, guys. I just personally don't care what everybody else has to say. I listen to you guys, and I care what you have to say.
Why?
Why? Because you guys are funny about it. You know, you do a little bit. That's your job. I have to think when you're not on the radio that you're actually sitting down researching this stuff as part of your job. You know, you actually get down to the nitty-gritty.
For Paul and Eric, that's right. I mean, okay. For Eric and Andy.
Eric and Andy. Well, whatever, you know.
Fred
I like
watched one tape 2 years ago.
Well, so would you rather? Would you rather we do a mock draft on one show?
Well, yes. I was actually going to get into that. I'd rather you guys, like, either you guys do a mock draft, which is fine, or you could take the, like, top five mock drafts that are out there, either from the NFL Network or something, go through it and break it down, which is fine. That's a good show filler. But I just, personally, I don't care what, you know, somebody who kind of looks at it casually like I do has to say about it.
Okay.
To be honest.
All right. Well, that's why I thought it was going to take place, like, visually on, like, pfwinprogress.com, where they would just do it and then we could maybe assess it later.
Yeah, but it has to be done because, you know, once one pick is made, then the next person, you know, has to know, okay, this is what's been taken, this is what's
that's
left.
That's why done in like a chat room, and it's right there before them. So it can't
be done independently.
Why don't the fans organize on pfwprogress.com their own version of the mock draft? Let them assign who's going to draft for which team, put it together, and then we can dissect it on the air afterwards.
Yeah, you can get some sort of computer program where they can, like, vote on the number one pick.
Sure.
You know,
top
one.
Right.
Yeah,
good idea.
Just go through it each line. That's fine.
I'll
take a look at that. But right. I want you guys
to do we have the ability to do something
that.
Like that?
No.
Oh, of course.
You know?
But you'd get...
This is another... Never mind.
Unless they...
That's probably another Fred Kirsch best left off the air complaint.
But, guys, you know what I was calling, too, was, you know, about the CBA. I don't know, maybe you can refresh my memory, but have you guys not even broke it down, but your general opinion, what you hope comes out of the CBA? You know what I mean? Like, you know, like maybe top three things, whether it's coming from the owner's side or the player's side, something that you hope for.
I hope,
just to let you know, what I'm hoping for, what would be ideal, I would love it. I actually side with the players. I don't want to see 18 games, especially towards the end of the season. I kind of like rooted for it in the beginning of the season because obviously more football is great. But the thing was, when you looked at the last two to three games, obviously you saw how many people were getting hurt, and two more games of that would just be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyways, my greater point, however, I would love to see more football in general. And I think another bye week would be awesome. You know, like, so you have two bye weeks. If college can do it with 12 to 13 games, why can't the NFL do it?
Well, they did it.
So,
I mean, it wasn't that long ago. They had two bye weeks.
Yeah,
there were
did.
Two or three
well,
seasons.
Was that Paul's time and not my time?
What?
Yeah,
no, that was your time.
No, that was
my time, and there's no one's time who's shorter than mine.
It didn't last very long, though.
It was in the 2000s, I believe, or late 90s.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the last 10 years, there were two bye seasons.
Two bye weeks?
I didn't even know that.
Seasons
of
multiple buys. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, they had it. It wasn't that long ago.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. I wouldn't be opposed to 18 weeks, 16 games.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. But I'm with you, Anthony. I don't want 18 games. I do not want that.
Well, yeah, and I think another thing, too, they should address, which would be great, is, like, you know, kind of like have baseball with, like, you know, the DL list. Where it's just like there's not like
short-term,
a permanent IR.
Yeah.
Right. You can have two.
There's been a lot
versions.
Of talk
have
of
a,
that.
Have a year-long one and a temporary one.
Yeah. I think that'll be great if that happens. And there was a couple of other things I thought, too.
I would definitely like a rookie salary scale.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
absolutely. That was the other one, too, the rookie salary cap. I think it helps out those bottom feeders. Sometimes they get into cap hell, if there is a cap that's going to come back, obviously. But I don't like the argument from the player standpoint, as in – well, if you take away the rookie salary cap, what are you going to give us? Where's that money going to go? Well, obviously, it's just going to go back into the veterans.
Yeah.
You know, like, either that or they can make, like, a little promise and say, okay, we'll increase the veteran minimum. But to me, I don't think that money just disappears. It's just going to be distributed.
It can't disappear because the cap is a percentage.
Exactly.
So
my point.
If Jamarcus Russell's dead money isn't on the Raiders' cap, it has to go to someone else to keep them between the floor and the ceiling of the salary cap. As long as they work with a similar system, they don't need to make any new rules. That money will, by law, by rule, technically have to go to get to their percentage.
But that's my point, Andy. I agree with you because I'm like, why are these players saying, "Well, where's the money going to go?" I'm like, there's no argument. It's like still there.
They're just that's matter. Just you know rhetoric and negotiating discussion. Apparently, did you just kill him?
No, he's still there. You're still there, Anthony, right?
That was a good that's a good idea though. We'll let you go now. Thanks for the call, Anthony.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right,
but I two things. What two things do you want to come out of this? I'm with Eric. I think the rookie wage scale is a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to be giving $60 million to anybody at the top of the draft. And
I'd like to keep 16 games.
Well, let me ask you a question about
I would really like to keep 16.
Player benefits once they retire.
Mm-hmm.
Do these guys have life insurance? I'm not life, but health insurance for life once they retire? Is that the
I
way
don't
it
know
works?
Exactly what their benefits
I don't believe
are.
So. I don't believe so. I think you can reach it. I think there's certain years that
here's
are key
what
years.
I would do. I mean, and I don't know what it is right now. Maybe I'm making it worse for the owners, but if you have 1 year of accrued season, you get 2 years of health insurance. If you have 10 years, you get 20 years of health insurance. And after that, it's
you're
like,
on your own.
You're on your own, just like other people who you leave your job. You hope your next job has benefits.
Now,
you know?
Does the job they're leaving cause permanent physical damage?
Well, that. Maybe if it, you know, maybe you have a thing. If it's an injury that can be proven that it was because of your job, that you know, the result.
You've seen how hard that is, right? You've read all those stories about the permanent disability and the system has totally failed
ex
players.
But that's a killer to have, you know, full. You know, I don't know what the cutoff is. Like, if you have 5 years, do you have
you health just hate insurance? Players, huh?
I don't hate players.
Yeah, you do.
But I just think that you know that's a lot.
But it's also a lot in all the other unions that get it. That don't have jobs.
Right, and we're all complaining about that.
And what's the big difference? Not all of those people leave. Every player who leaves has some issue physically.
Yeah, but
there's no doubt in my mind.
If I'm a cop, and when I'm 30 years old, I decide, you know, I don't want to be a cop anymore, I don't have any more benefits.
Right.
I get another job, and I hope my next...
Okay, if you tell me all the players that leave under their own desire, but most players don't leave when they want to. They leave when the teams say, we don't need you
anymore. How many Jake Plummers are out there?
Right. Few and far between. Barry Sanders, okay, those guys you can cut off their health insurance. They chose to walk away.
Great story, by the way, on him in Sports Illustrated about a month
Barry
ago.
Barry Sanders?
Jake Plummer.
Oh.
Awesome story. You know what he does?
What's he doing? Does he still have a Honda Element?
he plays handball.
Oh, boy.
But I think the bottom line is, do you think the NFL should be responsible for these guys' health insurance for
yes.
the rest of their lives?
Pretty much, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then that's... Is that fiscally realistic? I mean, can
I have no
they
idea.
Do that?
I have no idea.
I don't know enough about that aspect to say
$10 billion a year seems
it
like
sounds
a lot of
like but it does sound like both sides agree that more can be done for retired players, but I don't know the specifics of it either as far as what they actually get, but it sounds like they both agree that more can be done for retired players.
I mean, that was one of the
maybe not for the rest of their lives, but
that was one of the hits on Upshaw. Was he basically came out and said, what I do for you guys is for the guys who are playing. You know, it's not for the guys who are retired.
Right, but I think a lot of the guys who are playing realize that they one day, very soon, are going to be the guys who aren't playing
right.
and may need help.
Right. I just
is a good way to look at it.
You know, again, I'm talking,
literally, let's look at a situation close to home. Ty Warren.
Right.
The team wanted him to play through the injury last year, correct? That's pretty much the perception.
Okay.
If not the
if
fact.
Not the reality.
He had surgery, chose to take care of his health. But the team was asking him to play through an injury that needed
surgery. They left it up to him. Yeah.
And if he does that, okay, that's fine. You're helping the team. Great. We'll be a winner this year. And you've only played 6 years, so in a decade, you're out of health insurance.
Well,
like,
that's where
we're telling you to put your body on the line.
If that injury continues to be a problem for the rest of his life, it's paid for.
But his body is the product. It's going to be the problem.
You do know what Andy was talking about a little while before that. About how hard it has been for those players to prove.
Right.
That. Like a case like Ty Warren's, he played through it, and then he's getting a hassle trying to prove that's what caused it. Another one that's even more recent, Stephen Neal.
Oh, the shoulder, yeah.
Okay, you know, he says his doctor said if, you know, one more and it won't be too good or something
right.
like that.
You'll have to start putting replacement parts in there.
So do you honestly think he's going to go without
needing surgery for the next 10 years? No, there's
no chance that's going to happen. I think the league should pay for it.
But okay, this is how do you prove it is my point.
No, but this is the obvious stuff. Stephen Neal had shoulder surgeries. He has bad shoulders. What about all the concussion stuff that isn't obvious? It's not provable that these guys have headaches, depression, or these guys are addicted to painkillers at three times the rate of the average public.
So if what you're saying is the fair thing to do and the right thing to do by the league, I think then the current players need to make a sacrifice. If they think that that's that important, I think the owners have a right to say, well, all right, but you got to make the current players have to make a little bit of a sacrifice, and the players coming in the future, in order to do that.
Maybe. Because I don't know all the numbers well enough to say that definitively.
I don't either.
But it sounded like they were tying that argument into the rookie salary scale. They were saying, if you're going to have this extra money, let some of it go to the retiree benefits.
There's no extra money.
No, I know.
If it comes off the cap, there is now room in the cap that team must make up for to stay above the floor.
The argument I heard was, don't pocket it. You spread it out among the veterans.
But it has to be.
Of course.
They have to stay above the salary cap.
I think the owners agree with that. I think, in fact, that was the owner's argument, is that we'd rather spend it on veterans than unproven rookies.
You're bringing, the comparison to other unions, real world and all this stuff going on now. There's clearly issues with unions and too much power, and you have to give back if we're going to get... But the one major difference is the NFL is doing better than it's ever done, right? In a down economy, ratings are skyrocketing.
Right.
Everything is up. Revenue is up. So there's no reason. All these other unions, the reason they're having to make concessions, because they're all failing. Schools don't have the budgets. Newspapers are going to either go out of business or you make these concessions. That's a major difference. The NFL is not failing, and yet they're saying you have to take back X, Y, and Z.
Well,
they're projecting that they would fail in 5 years on their numbers.
Right. That's where I was about to say, that's where the burden of proof is on the owners.
Right. Show me the fact that we will be out of business in 5 years.
Right.
I also don't the whole rookie cap thing, the rookie salary cap, I think is grossly overrated. I don't think it's as big a problem as it's made out to be. I think it affects so few people. Now, Andy put it and Eric put it with Jamarcus Russell. Absolutely. You know, there's no reason for a guy who has done nothing to be guaranteed that amount of money. But there's not... I mean, what are you talking about? 7 guys a year?
Yeah, but they need to
make some equity. I grant
you
that.
But the issue to me is not even financial. It's competitive. The league was built upon, we want parity. We want teams to all have a chance. That's the NFL way. We're not baseball, blah, blah, blah. If you F up the number one pick, you're already a bad team.
Yeah.
You're going to stay a bad team.
Right.
And now you're a bad team with multiple bad, dead, big contracts on you. So you're not allowing them to dig out and move to the top, which is your whole philosophy. We are one. You know, the rising tide lifts all boats. Well, that boat is stuck with an anchor holding it to the ocean.
I get that, but I just don't think it's as widespread a problem.
It's not.
In other words, if the team that's down there picking consistently doesn't make the right pick, it's going to hurt them whether they're strapped to this $20 million, $30 million guaranteed contract or not. It's going to continue to hurt them if they continue to make bad picks.
Right.
But if Jamarcus Russell turned out to be Peyton Manning, no one would be bitching about the amount of guaranteed money he got.
But the difference is, if Jamarcus Russell sucks, that team still has its $20 million to go say, you know what? Sidney Rice doesn't suck. I'm going to go sign him. Mm-hmm. I don't have my quarterback, but I can bring in other talent with that money. I have other avenues.
Listen, there's some
inequity.
But
if you're strapped to $32 million in dead money or all
that
crap,
there's inequity to it, and I recognize that.
That sucks.
I'm not saying that
it's
not a problem.
And no one makes out except the bum at the top of the draft and his agent. Those are the only two people that make out.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm not saying it doesn't need to be fixed. It does. And they are going to fix it. I don't even think the players really fighting.
No,
the players have to, you know, make some concessions. They are. The players have made. I mean, I don't hear a lot of fighting over that.
No, I think even veterans spoke out and said we agree with that as long as the money is kept on the salary cap and spent.
And it will. So
it will.
The only reason they're even somewhat going to fight it is just because you don't want to just give it easily. Yeah. You know, it's a chip.
To me, the whole rookie salary cap should be something they should have done without even a CBA.
Right.
I mean, they should have just done that.
That's common sense.
And I think they would have. I think even if this had been going on, you might have seen them come together and tweak that system.
Right.
Yeah, well, Goodell's been talking about that for the last few years anyway.
Yeah.
So he talks a lot about a lot of stuff.
Talks about 18 games, too.
I think he was serious about...
I think he's serious about 18 games. He's just not serious that the fans have clamored for it.
Yeah, I think the 18 game thing that Goodell keeps talking about, he needs to reconsider, because I think Anthony was a perfect example. I think when most people heard the idea, the first idea was, wow, less preseason, more regular season games, winning.
Yeah. Winning.
You know, but then, you know, the more you thought about it, it's like, you started separating the two. And it's like, yeah, I hate preseason, but that doesn't mean I necessarily, you know, want that elongated regular season.
But is there there's less value in an 18-game schedule that only includes 16 games for each team, because you don't have the chance of seeing Patriots-Colts more often, or Patriots-Packers, or good games.
No, we're not just talking about extending the season. We're talking about extending games for each team. You know, more games per team.
No, I know, but that brings value to a TV network. I have more chances to see Tom Brady.
Right.
In the other version, I don't. I have two more chances to not see Tom Brady and have to see David Garrard or some Jag quarterback who's boring and doesn't do anything for my TV ratings. To me, the value is 18 games gives me more chances for Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, whoever the stars of the NFL are. You don't just adding a bye week doesn't add any value there, really.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We've come to the end of this special off-season edition.
Wasn't as good as Thursday, but...
We will have another one on Thursday. We'll get another shot at it.
Kevin wasn't here.
You know, who knows? There could be some big news by Thursday. If it is, you'll hear
it
at some point.
At some point on the show.
PFW Progress. See you
after the Nut Wizard.
After today's show, Fred can't wait to get home to use his new chipper. He actually talks to it like it's a real person.
This is the most fun I've ever had giving you wood.
Patriots.com Radio.